Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Friday.
It's 4:03. Welcome in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Streaming online at KGYMradio.com. Good show for you today. We'll start with Alex Halstead coming up in about 20 minutes. Alex will help us put the wraps on Iowa State's spring football practices, as well as discuss the Cam Lard news, which we hit on yesterday on the show. Colin Ward-Henninger of CBSSports.com is with us inside hour number two. Crazy night in the NBA playoffs last night. And a banner day here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, because it's time for our yearly check-in with the one and only Mel Kuhn Jr.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say Doug and Daddy.
No.
That's way more fun.
Well, let's be honest. Well, we're going to be honest here. I was in the office earlier today, and Alex was discussing the program and how things were going to be presented today and in what order we were going to get to things. And he knew Mel Kuhn Jr. was coming, the annual segment with Mel Kuhn Jr.
Mel sent me a text. He says
and
he'll be here.
Alex looks at me.
20 minutes.
Alex looks at me and says, are there any topics in particular that you'd like to cover with Mel? Speaking as if Mel Kuhn Jr. was just a regular old guest on the show.
He is.
And I said, well, I think we would like to cover Iowa and Iowa State if that's okay with Mel.
He says it's okay, and so that's exactly what we're going to do.
We also have the 6 o'clock showdown tonight inside hour number three. That'll be your opportunity to get your hands on a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. They've got a location in Marion and two right here in Cedar Rapids. LaCantina319.com is the website you can go to check out the menu, and all three La Cantina locations currently hiring. Cardinals sweeping the Milwaukee Brewers today. We'll get to baseball discussion as well as some developing NFL news that is certainly unsettling, to say the least. But I wouldn't be breathing a sigh of relief just yet if I were a fan of a certain team. But first, last night, actually, for not being tremendously local, last night gave us some pretty good sports moments, not only in the NBA playoffs, but in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. What were you more impressed with? Damian Lillard's shot or the collapse in between Las Vegas and San Jose in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I was watching Vegas and San Jose, and I saw the reaction from Portland and Oklahoma City. I expected the Trailblazers to win that series, and Damian Lillard just showed how special of a player he is and how good he's been for a long time. He's a better player than Russell Westbrook. I don't care how many triple-doubles Russell Westbrook has. Damian Lillard is better. He is, and people don't talk about him because he plays in Portland. But that NHL game was just lunacy. The Vegas Golden Knights were up 3-1 in this series. They were up 3-0 last night in Game 7. And one of the worst calls of the postseason so far goes against the Vegas Golden Knights. Joe Pavelski was hit. He was cross-checked, sort of cross-checked, from the front by a Vegas player. He fell to the ice. He hit his head. He was bleeding from his head. And I hope Joe is okay. He's a fantastic player and a fantastic captain for the San Jose Sharks. But as a reaction to him getting hurt and him being cut from the head, they called a 5-minute major. If you know anything about a 5-minute major, it's not like a minor penalty where if you score, the penalty ends, or a double minor where if you score within the first 2 minutes or the second two minutes, the penalty ends. No, it is 5 consecutive minutes of power play for the San Jose Sharks, and during that power play, they went from down 3-0 to up 4-3. They scored 4 times during the power play, and then Vegas tied it up with, I think, 30 seconds remaining. Then the Sharks won in overtime. But there, it had everything, including a furious comeback, a horrible call from the NFL or the NHL officials, which has become commonplace, and a lengthy overtime. So that was extremely fun to watch. I didn't think that it needed to get to that point, because I honestly thought that Vegas got robbed out of a chance to finish off that game seven.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here in the comforts of the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, where we will be leaving tomorrow for our home away from home, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We'll be back at Mulligan's on Old Marion Road, 1060 Old Marion Road, if you need to write down the address to plug it into your GPS later. Very easy to find. Just take the 42nd Street exit when you're on 380 and head east until 42nd Street tees off with Old Marion Road. Take a left-hand turn, and you'll see Mulligan's a ways up the street on the left-hand side. We're actually doing an abbreviated edition of the show tomorrow from 4 until 6 o'clock, and then from 6 until 7, we're going to be doing what you're doing, most likely, and that's following along with the first round of the NFL draft. We will have that for you from first pick until the final selection of the first round on all three KGYM frequencies tomorrow, to the best of my knowledge. A 366-1600, again, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, but please do join us tomorrow. We've got tickets to see Cirque du Soleil coming to the U.S. Cellular Center. We'll have some other great prizes for you as well. And happy hour runs from 3 until 6 daily at Mulligan's. And then tomorrow night, half-price wings from 6 until close. We have some Iowa football scheduling news to get to today. We're going to touch on that coming up here in the first hour. But speaking of football news, the NCAA, I'm sure Kirk Ferentz has noticed this, has denied Luke Ford a waiver to play this year. You may not be familiar with Luke Ford. He transferred to Illinois. I think he had started his college career, was it at Georgia Tech? I think he was at Georgia. Transferred to Illinois. He wanted to be closer to home to, so that his grandfather, who is ill, could see him play. The NCAA denied him eligibility this coming season for Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini. Tate Martell and Justin Fields both transfer because they're not going to get any playing time, and the NCAA makes them immediately eligible.
Why did they deny Luke Ford's waiver?
They better have a really good reason for it.
I guarantee you they don't. Does the NCAA ever have a really good reason for anything? Does the NCAA ever come out after the fact and say, this is why we did something? This is why we didn't give Drew Ott another year of eligibility or have any transparency in the matter? No. They also don't have any consistency, which is why this is going to be brought up, because they were pretty much patching through everyone who had a legitimate reason to transfer. Justin Fields, Tate Martell, and I loved the way that they were heading. I liked that. I think that every player deserves a mulligan. If they don't like where they're at, they deserve one free transfer. That's just where I fall in this. But to give those guys the opportunity to play, where, yes, they were clearly leaving. I know that Justin Fields cited the racist comments from some Georgia students, and Tate Martell had his reason out there. But for the most part, everybody believes that they left because they wanted more playing time. Justin Fields was behind Jake Fromm, and Tate Martell ended up being behind Justin Fields. So this, I don't understand why the NCAA wants to die on this hill.
Lest you think that this is just one individual player, There was also a player who transferred from Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Because his mother had a, I believe, a tumor removed from her brain, and he wanted to be close to her. And in that particular instance, that player's name is Brock Hoffman. The NCAA also said, no, you're not going to be eligible this year. So to be very clear, two guys who have ailing family members, not eligible to play in 2019, a couple quarterbacks who are seeking more playing time, immediately eligible. I'm done trying to explain how the NCAA goes about things.
Am I the idiot for having some kind of hope that they had changed? Was I completely misguided in thinking, okay, well, they let Justin Fields and Tate Martell play right away a couple years ago. They let Shea Patterson play right away at Michigan. This is becoming, we're heading to the point where everyone's going to get a free transfer. Everyone at least one time, if they have
except
a
legit, Drew Ott.
Except for Drew Ott, but that was, I thought, okay, Drew Ott's ancient history. We're moving on.
Never. He's evergreen in Eastern Iowa.
I thought Kirk Ferentz had gotten in the head of the NCAA so much that they were just going to allow everyone who had a legitimate reason or even an illegitimate reason to transfer the opportunity to transfer. And then now you see this, and it's back to same old ridiculous NCAA.
Your thoughts on the NCAA 366-1600. Is it because Ohio State is involved? 66-57. Well, seems to be that
Ohio State, Michigan, Miami.
Yeah. Certain programs that have high profiles seem to have no issues with having their waiver requests granted. And then other programs, in particular, Brock Hoffman, Virginia Tech, Luke Ford, Illinois. Maybe the text line is connecting dots and something is actually taking shape there. We have other NFL news to get to today. I mentioned the Tyreek Hill situation in Kansas City, and we're going to cover that a little more in depth coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But Ben Roethlisberger getting a 2-year extension today, according to Adam Schefter, worth $68 million, including a $37.5 million signing bonus and an additional $30 million in guaranteed money with concerns for injury. He had 1 year and $12 million left on his deal, so now Roethlisberger has 3 years at $80 million. $67.5 million of that is guaranteed. And again, this should come as no surprise because Pittsburgh went all in on Ben Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown is gone. Le'Veon Bell is gone. Ben Roethlisberger is not going anywhere for the next 3 years.
Yeah, they're doubling down on their trust in Big Ben at this point, where we're gonna find out who was the problem really quickly, right? I know that Antonio Brown has sort of proven himself to be a little bit of a clown these past couple weeks and really the past year. Le'Veon Bell, he's one of the best running backs in the league. He sat out all of last year. And I don't think Big Ben is any saint, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have always drafted skill position players well. And they've always been able to win even when they let a guy like Mike Wallace go. Or some of these other receivers that they've had, Emmanuel Sanders, they let him go. So they're going to be in a different situation where they're the underdogs to the Cleveland Browns in that division. They're the underdogs in that division, and we'll find out where was the culture issue coming from. Was it coming from Big Ben, like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown seem to think, or was it because of those two?
I always feel a little odd discussing Ben Roethlisberger knowing that he can't respond to any of the criticism because he somehow, for no apparent reason, has blocked me on Twitter. And if you if you search, Ben Roethlisberger has apparently blocked a number of people on Twitter.
How do I get blocked by Ben Roethlisberger on Twitter?
I bet you're already blocked by
him. I'm not. I've checked.
Oh, you're not?
I've checked. But this is a guy.
Tweet
this
something.
This is a guy.
Whoa, Mel. Mel, 5 o'clock hour, buddy. 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Tweet something mostly innocuous about Ben Roethlisberger. And
Ben Roethlisberger is a bad person.
All right, that'll get you. That will get you blocked. I don't know anything with regard to the timeline, how immediately the block will be thrown.
I'll just let it sit and see what happens.
But it's either him or he has somebody who combs social media and completely blacks out any mention of him so that he may or may not stumble across it someday. I had no idea that his middle name, by the way, is Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger, which makes me like him no more and no less than I currently do. But somebody on the text line was asking how old he is. He turned 37 last month. So he's going to be under contract and guaranteed about $65 million, give or take, into his age 40 season. Meanwhile, younger skill players, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, are playing elsewhere.
It is strange.
Bold move.
Because this is, he's also, how many years in a row have we discussed whether or not he was retiring, whether he was going to hang it up, whether his body was still in any shape to play that position? Well, give him a 3-year contract. Let everybody else walk.
It's not exactly Jared Lorenzen out there, but he's Big Ben for a reason.
He's big.
I know this for a fact, not that I'm an elite athlete, but I'm 2 years older than Ben Roethlisberger, and each year on the other side of 30, the aches and the pains and everything that comes with it, they tend to magnify a little bit. And again, I don't necessarily see the strategy here that Pittsburgh is employing, but they feel that they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, he's going to fall off a cliff at some point. That's my concern with aging quarterbacks. We've been waiting for it with Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and so far so good for both of them. But you're supposed to get to a certain age and then just not be good anymore. And if that happens soon with Roethlisberger, well, you've just guaranteed a lot of money to a quarterback who's not going to be in great shape when he's 40.
He's going to get hurt, isn't he?
He's not Tom Brady, is what I'm trying to get at. You know, Brady has the private workout guru, and he's got the diet book and the lifestyle. And we all know what Ben Roethlisberger's lifestyle is.
Yeah, he gets
chili
sacked.
Cheese fries.
Well, that too. And getting sacked a record amount of times.
Alleged run-ins with women. I said alleged. He's already blocked me. There's not much else he can do at this point. 366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Iowa will be playing Nevada in the 2022 season. Why Nevada? We'll get to that before 5 o'clock. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports is going to join us when we return. We'll talk Cyclone Sports and get you a big board update from the good folks at Alexander Lumber. Kyle will be in the studio with us here as we take a quick timeout on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM after this.
The name of the business is called Archery's Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at dupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flap cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flap cap courtesy of Pepsi.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Chris Atterbury inviting you to join me for Twins baseball this evening right here as the Minnesota Twins take on the Houston Astros with a series on the line. They'll try to get the better of Justin Verlander and see if they can't come home with a series victory at Minute Maid Park on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So much more NFL news to get to before 7 o'clock tonight, including a meddlesome NFL owner. Once again, being a meddlesome NFL owner. The draft now just a little over 24 hours away, and one owner in particular has inserted himself into the draft room, and the last time he did this, it didn't work out well for the franchise that he owns. Details on that coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour. Also, as we mentioned, the 6 o'clock showdown on the way tonight. Your chance to take home tickets to, or no, a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. I was thinking about the Colonel's tickets that Scott and Mark have given away all week long on the Gym Class. Your next chance to take home a family four-pack of tickets to see the Colonel's coming up sometime after 3 o'clock tomorrow with Scott and Mark, who will be here in the studio before Scott sometimes joins us at Mulligan's.
He does.
And hopefully we'll see you as well tomorrow for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We have Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports set to join us coming up in just a little bit. We'll touch on a number of Iowa State topics with him. But first, it's time now for a Big Board update. Big Board updates brought to you on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn by Alexander Lumber. Check them out at their temporary location in Iowa City. More details on Alexander Lumber to come. But here's Kyle.
The Iowa football team announced a home game against Nevada earlier today to put the finishing touches on the 2022 schedule. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, Iowa State, and Nevada, and in conference will host Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, and travel to Minnesota, Purdue, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Illinois. The Iowa baseball team once again used some late-game heroics to beat Milwaukee in 12 innings last night, 5-4, and Justin Jenkins did a lot of the legwork in this one. He entered the game as a defensive substitute in the eighth, and that move paid off for Rick Heller when he gunned down a runner at the plate for an inning-ending double play in the top of the 12th, and then you'll never guess who walked up and walked it off with a solo home run in the bottom of the inning. At 24-15 on the season, 13 of Iowa's wins have been comebacks with four walk-offs. Gary Parrish of CBS Sports published an early top 25 for next year's basketball season. He ranks the Hawkeyes 16th, the fourth highest team in the conference. Michigan State is the top-ranked team overall. Maryland is fifth and Michigan 15th. The Rough Riders fell to the Chicago Steel last night, and so they face elimination right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drop is set for 7:05. And after splitting a doubleheader yesterday, the Colonels are also in action tonight up in Wisconsin. First pitch for that set for 6:35. And then tonight, right after the show, we'll have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym, and then around 9 on the South and Main Gyms, we'll have the Warriors going for the kill against the Clippers.
The AAF story just won't go away, Todd.
Well, the AAF itself has gone away.
It's gone away, but the story has not gone away.
It's tied up in the court system, right?
Well, yes, it is, but you're still getting players tweeting out these horror stories about things that have happened and broken promises. Well, Kenneth Farrow, who former University of Houston running back, played for the Salt Lake City Stallions, tweeted earlier today, why are we getting medical bills mailed to us from minicamp lab work that was conducted by the teams? Any answers at Charlie Ebersol at the AAF?
So these guys are getting billed from the medical providers for tests that were done during
camp. their initial physicals that they took, not during training camp, but during the mini camp period that was about a month prior to training camp. So the very initial team meetings, they're getting billed for those physicals.
This is going to make a tremendous 30 for 30 someday. I don't know. Is there even enough footage and actual gameplay to get a 30 for 30? It's going to be more along the lines of administrative stuff and things that went on behind the scenes. But how confident would you be if you were Vince McMahon and the conglomerate lining up behind the reboot of the XFL at this point?
Doesn't it sort of take a little bit out of the sting out of how the XFL failed the first time, right? Where the XFL for over a decade was looked at as this joke, that this complete failure on every level, but at least they finished the season. Now they can look back and say, wow, well, we had this league who tried to go the exact opposite way that we did. And they failed even worse than we did.
I've said this before. The NFL is going to take what the AAF did and things that worked for the AAF, and they're going to incorporate it, and they're going to watch the XFL very closely and take things that work once the XFL inevitably folds. And for those of you who are not aware, former Hawkeye Jonathan Hayes, the new head coach of the St. Louis XFL franchise, that was announced last week. We're trying to get him on the program with us, as we often do. I
can
let
Jeff Fisher too.
What's his involvement?
I thought he was named.
He's on Twitter now. You showed me yesterday that Jeff Fisher is on Twitter and hunting down references to his proclivity for going 8-8 and 7-9.
Yes. Basically, people who bring up 7-9 or 8-8 on Twitter, he responds to all of them. So he's on Twitter. He's a great follow. And I thought there were rumors that he was going to be named a head coach in the XFL, but I don't think he ever actually was. So that's my fault.
Well, there was also a rumor that Tom Coughlin was going to resurface, and then it was his old defensive coordinator, right? Kevin Gilbride, who got the head coaching job in New York. So the XFL is starting to pick up. Meanwhile, NFL teams are swooping in and signing these AAF players. And I know the Bears signed a former AAF kicker, and now the Bears fans want Robbie Gould to come back to Chicago because he told San Francisco yesterday that he wants to be traded.
A kicker demanding a trade.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented territory right
it's
there.
It's the world that we live in. Speaking of unprecedented territory, tomorrow's going to be a fun day for fans of the Iowa football program and maybe the Iowa State football program as well, because there are some big-time players from both teams who are looking to go in the first round possibly, and if not the first round, then Friday between the second and third round, especially David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler. Butler's a guy who has a chance to be a first-round pick, depending on what type of mocks you're looking at. There was a guest on the Stephen A. Smith show today from Bleacher Report that said he thinks David Montgomery is going to be a steal for a team in the third round, and that he's going to be one of the best running backs in the NFL in a couple years.
Nah, he's not making it to the third round.
You don't think he?
No.
I would be surprised too, but he said if he did, it would be the steal of the draft. Joining us now to talk all things Iowa State, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports covers the Cyclones for them. Alex, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And what's your gut feeling on Hakeem Butler and David Montgomery's draft stock this week?
Yeah, that's been the talking point for a while, really. Since the NFL Combine, we've been talking about where both of those players might end up landing. And my gut tells me they both go on day two in the second round. I know there's been talk about Hakeem Butler. Like you said, you know, there's places that think maybe he could sneak into that first round. If there's a team that likes him late, maybe. I was on a conference call with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, a former NFL scout, and I think he said that he's heard there's teams that really aren't that high on him, and there's teams that think he's a first-round talent. So they're kind of all over the board on him, and I think it just depends if one of those teams wants him late. But I think most likely he probably goes into the second round. And then Montgomery looks like a second-round pick too, and you know the only way I think probably he might fall to the third round is just depending on where those running backs go, because we've seen the running back position kind of be devalued a little bit in the draft, and maybe there won't be a first-round running back taken this year, and that kind of just slides everybody back a little bit.
So when you look at Hakeem Butler, I know you kind of mentioned it and Daniel Jeremiah's evaluation. Is he just one of those prototypical teams, either love him or hate him, kind of polarizing type prospect where the size, the speed are there, but some people worry about the drops and the route running?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit polarizing. Like you said, I think there's people who see this body at 6'5", the wingspan. I think he had the longest arms at the combine. He has almost 11-inch hands. They see the tape with some of the circus catches, and then obviously he ran a 4.48 40. And so I think you combine those, and there's people who see untapped potential and the ability to develop a player here. But I think there's teams that wonder about him getting in and out of routes at that size, and then also, like you said, some of the inconsistency with his hands. But I think there's enough teams out of the 32 that are intrigued by that potential that he'll obviously, get picked pretty high. Jeremiah said that based on teams he's talked to, maybe he doesn't get into the first round, but he thinks he's maybe a top 40 pick, which obviously, is within the first 8 picks on Friday. So it's going to be interesting to see where he falls, because, it's looking like he's probably a second round pick, but, he could be anywhere from, I've seen people who think he's one of the top 3 best receivers in this class, and then all the way down to 10. Although some of the experts, I think Mel Kiper Jr. and Tom McShay, both think there could be 6 or 7 wide receivers picked in the second round, and that's why I think Butler probably falls there.
Well, from one draft to the other, as you noted yesterday, 233 players entering the NBA draft earlier, at least going through the evaluation process. That includes Lindell Wigginton and Talen Horton Tucker. What's the latest you've heard as far as where they could possibly be taken in the draft?
Well, Talen Horton Tucker's got the best chance here when you talk about Iowa State's prospects. I think there's people who think he's a first-round talent or early second-round talent, and that's kind of the decision he's going to have to make. First he'll find out if he's invited to the NBA Combine. If he gets there, obviously I think that helps his chances of probably remaining in the draft. But last year you saw Lindell Wigginton declare for the draft, didn't get a combine invite, and that was kind of the first sign that maybe he should come back. When you look at both players, they're both hiring agents. That doesn't mean as much anymore, because the new NCAA rule allows you to sever ties with them. As long as you do it by May 29th, you can return to school and kind of cut ties with your agent. So they could both return, but both Lindell Wigginton and Talen Horton Tucker are entering this draft or declaring early with the full intention of staying in. And the question is going to be what kind of feedback they get. Lindell Wigginton right now doesn't look like an NBA draft pick. Most places don't have him inside the top 100. Now, a team could fall in love with his athleticism and workouts, but, he might have to, if he sticks in this draft, he might have to go a different route in terms of the G League or undrafted, and that's going to be the big question with him. Cameron Bard actually declared as well. Obviously, he wasn't going to come back to Iowa State either way, but when he left Iowa State, it was never necessarily with the full intention to transfer. Now, Bard is in the NCAA transfer portal, but that just keeps his options open. If he decides to withdraw from the draft, he will go to a different school. But his intention is also to remain in the draft. And I don't think he gets drafted, but I think he probably tries to go the G League route or go professional over transferring to another school.
When he announced that he was leaving Iowa State, I think a lot of people just assumed he was transferring. Were you surprised to see the news that he is entering the draft and hiring an agent?
I wasn't, because the day he left, he never used the word transfer. And if you go back and look at Iowa State's press release, they were pretty careful as well. They did not include the word transfer. Their announcement was that he's decided to pursue other opportunities. And it sounded, you know, from what I had heard that day, that his first intention was to pursue professional opportunities. And so that's kind of what he's got to do here. Now, him entering the NCAA transfer portal does keep the option open that if he does change his mind or if things don't work out, he can still transfer to another school if he withdraws by May 29th.
Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports with us. Back to football now. Matt Campbell and his staff have closed the book on another spring of practices. Iowa State, much like Iowa and UNI, not doing anything for the public this year. But what did you learn about Iowa State as it looks forward to the 2019 season, Alex?
Well, there's been some position battles. Obviously, you know, that's something that's probably really the big storyline every spring for any college football program. And I don't think many of Iowa State's battles are necessarily answered, but I think they learned a little bit about some of them. Obviously, we just talked about Hakeem Butler and David Montgomery going to the NFL, and those are two big positions Iowa State's now got to fill. They seem pretty confident that they can fill the running back position. You know, Kanae Nwangwu and Sheldon Cronier are upperclassmen that I think they feel comfortable with. And Breece Hall, a four-star running back, was an early enrollee. And it sounds like from practice 1 to 15, he made a lot of progress. Like you said, we didn't get to see a spring game, but I had heard that, you know, Sheldon Cronier and Breece Hall were taking a lot of reps with the ones in that final practice. And so that's good news for Iowa State that someone like Breece Hall, a true freshman that's early, is maybe already, you know, working his way up that depth chart. Matt Campbell seems to be the most, I shouldn't say concerned, but the most uncertain about wide receiver and cornerback when you just look at, you know, two positions that are going to be young. At receiver, obviously, really likes Tariq Milton and Desante Jones, but there's not a whole lot of clarity about who's number 3, 4, or 5 if they have to get that deep at receiver. They really like Joe Skates and Sean Shaw Jr., but both guys are going to be redshirt freshmen next year, so you just don't know. And at corner, you know, they really like Daytron Young and Anthony Johnson Jr., but those two guys have combined for 7 career starts. So, you know, that's really the big thing going into this offseason is at a couple positions, they're pretty young, even if they do like their talent.
What about the offensive line? Of course, at this point, it's an experienced unit, but it's been the clear weakness of this offense the past couple of seasons. Do they feel like they can take a major step forward this year?
Yeah, Matt Campbell seems the most confident he's felt. I know he's slowly gotten a little bit more confident with the look of that line. His message the last week or so has been that, you know, for the first time he thinks since he's been here and that he's now just finished up spring ball number 4, he said they've looked the most like a Power 5 line, like they actually look like a Power 5 offensive line should. The biggest thing for them is they're just experienced. You know, they returned 63 of their 65 starts last year. The 5 guys that we saw out there for the last 11 games of the regular season, including the bowl game, were the guys that were out there with the number ones in spring ball. That group is combined for 114 career starts. So they're just a lot more veteran, and I think that's a good starting point with the offensive line is not only do they have a lot of experience, but they have a lot of experience running next to each other in the same combination. Beyond that, you know, Iowa State's starting to feel better about being 8 or 9 deep. When you talk to Iowa State coaches about that offensive line, they'll bring up Trevor Downing and Joey Ramos and Robert Hudson, 3 youngsters, 2 of them who will be redshirt freshmen this year, that they say are starting to push some of those guys. So I think they'll probably go with a veteran lineup, you know, when you get to Northern Iowa on August 31st. But I think some of those youngsters put those guys on a shorter leash where if they're not producing, Iowa State's going to be a little bit more ready to put in the young guy and try to improve that line.
You brought up Breece Hall, so I want to ask you a little bit about him, an early high school graduate enrolling so he can get on campus and get his feet underneath him before the fall. What are the chances that we see him make an impact for Iowa State next year?
Yeah, I think, you know, since he signed and, you know, with the loss of David Montgomery, there's always been a thought that either Breece Hall or fellow four-star running back Jairo Brock could at least get an opportunity, and Hall gets the first shot at that because he enrolled early. A kid that went to the Army All-American game and then enrolled at Iowa State the next week. You know, he's obviously a big-time recruit in that sense. His thing is, you know, he's already got the size that he can play right away. You know, running backs always have the opportunity to play a little bit early, but he comes in at, 6'1", 200 plus. And so, he's already got that size. I almost think Iowa State might go with like the David Montgomery plan, so to speak. When you look back to the 2016 season, Matt Campbell's first year, they entered that year with Mike Warren at running back, and he was obviously the guy because he had rushed for 1,000 yards the year before, and he was that veteran guy or that older guy. But by midseason, I think even in fall camp they started to realize this, but by midseason it was pretty clear to them that David Montgomery, was the guy that needed to get the carries, and he took over at running back. And I can see them going a similar way if Breece Hall continues to, make progress, where Sheldon Crony or Kanae Nwangwu, as the junior and senior of that group, maybe starts against Northern Iowa or starts the season. But if Breece Hall or someone else continues to make progress, a few games in or by midseason, maybe they become that workhorse. So I actually feel like it has a lot of bodies, a lot of competition. And I think Breece Hall is part of the reason that has heated up.
You mentioned the wide receiving core, and I think we've all gotten used the last couple of years to seeing those big physical receivers lining up out wide. Alan Lazard a couple of years ago, Hakeem Butler, then Matthew Eaton. This year, how much of a new-look receiving core do you expect with the leading receivers returning in Tariq Milton and Deshaunte Jones, kind of that inside slot receiver mold?
Yeah, the biggest change is going to be that their X receiver, their outside receiver, very well could be Tariq Milton. And instead of talking about a guy that's 6'5", you're talking about a guy that's 5'11", or 6', maybe 6'. So Tariq Milton right now, I think, has been practicing at that outside spot, and they think he's capable of playing either inside or outside. So he could be the X receiver. Tariq Milton's probably going to stay inside of the slot. It's going to be kind of a compliment, I think, of, they have 152 targets to replace between Matt Eaton and Hakeem Butler both being gone. Butler accounted for 108 of those targets, and they've really got to replace those. And some of it's going to be done by, those receivers, but I think some of it's going to be done by those tight ends. They've got, 2 6'7" tight ends and a 6'6" tight end, and I think they feel like they can put those guys out, out wide as well in the slot and do different things with them. Two of those guys are now juniors. Charlie Kohler is going to be a sophomore. So they're a little bit more veteran of a group. And I think they can also alleviate some of that size. Going back to the spring game this weekend that we didn't get to see, but some people were allowed in to see. It sounded like kind of their big red zone target was Charlie Kohler. When they got down to the red zone, that's who Brock Purdy was looking to. So I think those tight ends can become that big body, since they don't necessarily have a ton of experience, big bodies. Now, Sean Shaw and Joe Skates are both bigger bodies, but again, they're redshirt freshmen, so I think people just have to remain patient as those guys come along.
What do you think the biggest priority for Matt Campbell and his coaching staff is between now and the season opener?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's just trying to bring some of those young guys along, because that's going to kind of be the biggest thing is, if their corners can come along and grow up quickly, and if they can bring a couple of those receivers along, they kind of can fill those voids pretty quickly. When you look at the defensive side of the ball, they return all 39 starts across the defensive line, and they return two of their three starters at linebacker. I think that front six is basically going to be the same as it was last year. And so
do we lose Alex? That's unfortunate. See if we can try to get him reconnected there. I had one last question for Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports, but he seems to have completely dropped off there. We'll get him back on the line. He is the first of three guests on the program today, including Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports, who will be with us shortly. Alex, I'm sorry you got cut off there. Something happened there mid-answer. Instead of having you repeat yourself, I'll just ask you my final question, and that's whether or not you can give us an update on the recruiting front for Matt Campbell and his staff at this point.
Yeah, sorry about that. I could hear you talking, but I must not have been able to come through. But, yeah, Iowa State's recruiting has really picked up for 2020. They've now got 6 commitments in this class. It's going to be a smaller class, probably about 20, so they're probably more than 25% of the way done. And I think the most interesting thing for them on the recruiting trail has been that all 6 of those guys are – from the Midwest, 3 from Minnesota, 2 from Iowa, and 1 from Kansas. So, they're really sticking close to home, and that's been the trend under Matt Campbell. I think the biggest target for them right now is probably in-state with Blaze Gunnarsson, a defensive end from Carroll. I've heard that Iowa State and Nebraska have been the big three. It sounds like it could come down to Nebraska and Iowa State. If Iowa State can win that battle, that'd be big for them because, you know, he's someone they've been in on a long time. I think that's probably the guy that's maybe the closest to a decision and the guy that they really probably need to try to win that battle right now.
Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports. We appreciate it. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You can give him a follow on Twitter for all your Iowa State information. And I'm interested to see whether Breece Hall the other running back that they've got can not necessarily replace David Montgomery. You don't replace a player of that caliber, but just exactly what the offense and what the running game looks like without David Montgomery. Because I do think they've got a couple very talented young running backs and how Matt Campbell mixes and matches and uses them as a two-headed monster is going to be fascinating to watch.
It is, and we're going to find out how talented or how good Matt Campbell is at recruiting talented running backs. We already know. He's found plenty of them in the past, going back to his days at Toledo. And by the way, I was looking up some of the player comparisons for David Montgomery, and let's just say that he got a lot of comparisons to another former Toledo running back who may or may not have been in the news the last year quite a bit. That would Kareem Hunt, in case you're wondering. But I think both of them are very good. This is a step up in recruiting, and I'm also interested to see where David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler. By the way, Mel Kuhn Jr. is torn on Hakeem Butler. He doesn't know what to think.
Oh, so this is now appointment listening in the 5 o'clock hour when we chat with KGYM's in-house draft expert Mel Kuhn Jr. There you go, Iowa State fans. Mel trying to figure out what direction he would like to go on a former Cyclone heading into the draft, which tomorrow will be taking over our airwaves at 6 o'clock. So we are officially about 25 hours away from the Arizona Cardinals being on the clock. You can hear the entire first round from start to finish right here on KGYM. And that will not affect tomorrow's road trip at Mulligan's, other than the fact that we will be off the air at 6 o'clock rather than 7. So stop on into Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. We're going to be hanging out, doing the show, and then watching the start of the draft with you. Maybe having
some
a beverage.
Wings.
Half-price wings from 6 until close. We've got tickets to Cirque du Soleil at the U.S. Cellular Center. All the more reason for you to join us at the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. When we return, Iowa is playing Nevada in 2022. We try to make some sense of that when we return after this.
Baseball season is upon us. What are your fondest ballpark memories? A big hit, clutch save, just cracking a cold one on a sunny day. How about the beauty of that green, perfectly maintained field? Imagine that field in your backyard. As the official field crew of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, Ultra Lawn can make that a reality. Only the best will do for you. So partner locally with the professionals at Ultra Lawn. The grass is always greener on the Ultra Lawn side of the fence. Get a quote online at ultralawn.com.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus for $27.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is tomorrow on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Changing your oil regularly helps keep your vehicle running at its best. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for just $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After splitting the first two in Oakland, the Warriors storm into L.A. and win two straight. Now the Clippers face a must-win Game 5 on the road.
Tonight, starting at 9 o'clock on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
You'll hear more about this coming up on our next Big Board Update, brought to you by Alexander Lumber when Kyle brings it to you in the 5 o'clock hour. But the Iowa football team announced that it's 2022. Schedule has been completed today. The Hawkeyes picking up a game September 17th at Kinnick Stadium against the Nevada Wolfpack. And, of course, anytime the non-conference schedule gets brought up, Alex, you will have people who are gnashing their teeth and complaining that Iowa isn't playing a strong enough non-conference schedule. This is an interesting game for a number of reasons. One, as many people have noted already today, including yours truly, Nevada is coached by Jay Norvell, former Hawkeye. But two, if you're going to play a non-conference opponent, Nevada's on a pretty good trajectory right now. We don't know what they will look like in three seasons, but I've got a pretty good idea. And the rest of the non-conference schedules, Iowa State and South Dakota State, that's a fairly good three-game stretch going into your Big Ten opener, which, get ready for this, Hawkeye fans, in 2022, is going to be the battle for Floyd of Rosedale, fighting over Floyd in late September in 2022.
That game was scheduled because of the connection, right? That's how usually these non-conference games get off the ground.
I think so. It does not appear to be a home-and-home, which is something that, if you know anything about Kirk Ferentz, you know he's not interested in taking his team west anymore, as very few Big Ten teams want to go west. I don't blame them. So Nevada comes for a one-off. You've got Jay Norvell. The offensive coordinator, at least right now at the moment, is Hal Mumme's son. So you know they're going to play a very up-tempo, air raid-inspired offense. I think it's going to be a hell of a football game.
We will see what they look like in 3 years.
And if you're worried about the 2022 non-conference schedule, I can't help you. There's no guarantee that any of us are going to be here when this game is played on September 17th, 2022. I would like to think I'll still be around, but you never know.
Didn't Nevada have a pretty good quarterback in like the early 2010s, late 2000s?
I believe they did.
I can't think of his name.
They did.
His name isn't really brought up all that much anymore. So
yeah,
he's kind of fallen.
You never hear about him. All those great college players that just sort of fall off the face of the earth. 366-1600, the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will tell you what's in store for the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus for $27.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
I love the way the text line thinks, trying to incorporate some sort of Steve Alford trophy into the Iowa-Nevada football game in 2022. I wouldn't go so far as to say what Cyclone Tim did on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line, that people who are worried about 2022 probably need therapy. But there are things to lose sleep over, and there are things not to lose sleep over. This is not going to bother me one bit, and I think it's going to be a better football game than a lot of the non-conference games that we've seen Iowa play in recent memory. And leave Steve Alford out of this. Although I do agree with our one texter, let's work on a non-conference game between the Hawkeyes and the Wolfpack in men's hoops, just for the sheer storylines available to us here in the media. I'm a very selfish human being. Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports is with us next to discuss last night's dagger from Damian Lillard.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger will get a 2-year contract extension. His deal now runs through the 2021 season. And ESPN's Adam Schefter reports those two added years are worth a total of $68 million. The NFL draft, a little more than 24 hours away. The Cardinals hold the number one pick. ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit knows who he'd take.
With Cliff Kingsbury being the head coach now, without a doubt, I would pick Kyler Murray. Same system he's coming out of with Lincoln Riley. I just think he fits, and I think he has an ability to take the Cardinals to a different level.
Wall-to-wall draft coverage starts tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and TV and ABC. ESPN's Dan Graziano reports Jaguars executive Tom Coughlin got a warning letter from the NFL. It was in response to Coughlin's comments last week about players not attending voluntary workouts. Two game fives in the NBA tonight, both potential clinchers. The Rockets at home against the Jazz, and the Warriors at home against the Clippers. We'll have that one at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Coming up Thursday, it's draft day in the NFL. No more arguing over Kyler's height or Haskins' talent. For that, my son will never have the abs of DK Metcalf. We're live from Nashville Thursday on Go Look a Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Changing your oil regularly helps keep your vehicle running at its best. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for just $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:02, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, join us at Mulligan's Pub, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We will turn our attention, of course, to the NFL draft tomorrow, a brief 4-6 show before hanging out at Mulligan's for a little bit, watching the first few picks of the draft. But before we turn our attention completely to the draft, we've got to revisit what happened last night in the NBA playoffs because, well, it's been the talk of the country today. Damian Lillard, ice water running through his veins. Colin Ward-Henninger joining us from CBS Sports. And how about that game last night as the Blazers close out, as the Blazers beat the Thunder? 118-115, 50 points for Damian Lillard, but none bigger than those final three.
Yeah, I mean, that was just an amazing performance. I've never seen anything like it personally. I mean, just the fact that he came out and scored 34 points in the first half. I mean, we knew he was due for a special night. And then when the Blazers fell behind, you kind of thought, oh, no, this performance is going to waste. But they chipped away. C.J. McCollum kind of got hot a little bit, which is something they really needed. And then that final shot, I mean, we've seen so many buzzer beaters in NBA history and even some in the playoffs. But the degree of difficulty on that buzzer beater to drain the clock, wait till the end of the clock to make sure he gets the last shot, sidestep from about 40 feet and just drain it cold-blooded, wave goodbye. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, and I've been following the NBA for a very long time.
Whenever Russell Westbrook is brought up, he's such a polarizing topic. Some people think he's overrated. Some people think he's underrated. But I have never understood why Damian Lillard doesn't get the press. Is he one of the most underrated players in the NBA for how special he is?
Yeah, I think he is. He might be at the very top. I mean, you hear, you know, Drew Holiday's name brought up a lot because of his kind of two-way ability. But, I mean, Lillard's been doing this for years, and he's going to get a lot of recognition, deservedly so, after this shot and kind of people vaulting him into the top, you know, 10, top five even of NBA players, which is where he deserves to be. And a guy like Westbrook has gotten a lot of accolades for, you know, his triple-doubles, the things he does on the court are things that we've never seen before, and he certainly deserves credit for that. But Damian Lillard, kind of buried up there in Portland. They've underachieved a little bit. I think last year's first-round exit to the Pelicans really kind of dropped Lillard in people's minds because they weren't really in the playoff picture at all. Kind of some people threw that on Lillard, said he should have done a better job, which is true. But the previous 2 years, they lost to the Warriors. So it's not like they've been a playoff disappointment. And this win is just so big for them, particularly after the loss of Yusuf Nurkic, for him to come in and just absolutely take control of this series, beat Russell Westbrook, outperform him. It clearly puts Lillard ahead of Westbrook in any sort of point guard rankings that you're doing.
You kind of lead me right to my next question. If this win catapults Lillard into the conversation, what does another first-round loss do to the way that people talk about Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, it's not good. For the talent on this team, I mean, to have Steven Adams and a Paul George, who was basically a top three MVP candidate for a good majority of the year, and for Westbrook to just continue his very, very inefficient play. I mean, it's such a paradox that you have to deal with because you would never want to hold him back because his energy and his excitement and the way that he plays is what makes him so great. But at the same time, it just appears more and more that without Kevin Durant, it's going to be hard for that style to win and advance in the playoffs. So the Thunder have a lot of questions to answer. Obviously, they could use a better supporting cast if they could get some more shooting around him, kind of maybe revamp the way they play a little bit. That would help. Obviously, a healthy Paul George, it seemed like he was banged up a little bit. He played brilliantly in Game 5, but other than that, he kind of struggled. And if they can get those two working together like they did this year and add some more shooting around them, they might be able to adjust Westbrook's style a little bit.
Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports with us, talking NBA playoff action. I hear a lot of people now are on the Portland bandwagon after last night. Sort of a recency bias here, but can we take Portland serious as a contender here?
Yeah, we have to. I mean, I was one of the ones who picked the Thunder to beat them and advance to the Western Conference Finals, so I'm guilty of overlooking them as well. I have a colleague, Brad Botkin, who works with us, and he has been on the Damian Lillard bandwagon since day one, and he is so ecstatic. He called me after the game last night and said he almost fell on the ground laughing after he hit that shot because he knows people are going to finally see what he's been seeing. But they are definitely going to be a threat to beat the Nuggets or the Spurs, whoever advances. I think it'll be the Nuggets. And they'll make some noise if they do make the Western Conference Finals against either the Rockets or the Warriors, who it looks like those two are probably going to make it. They will definitely be able to win a game or two and prove to people that they're for real. I mean, Kerry Scott is one of the best coaches in the NBA. And I think as much recognition as Lillard is getting, C.J. McCollum deserves it, and Terry Stotts deserves it as well for what they've been able to do out there with very limited resources.
Do Golden State and Houston close things out tonight in their respective series?
I think they do. I think the only, you know, kind of danger is the look-ahead factor, where it's human nature. They have to be thinking about the next round matchup where they get to face each other again. I think both the teams are professional enough and experienced enough to kind of put that aside and take care of business at home. So I do think they both closed it out. However, the Jazz did show some fight and play well. I'm not sure what happened to them in those first two games, but it looked like it really kind of threw them for a loop. And then they blew their chance to beat the Rockets when Harden, you know, started 0-15 or whatever he did. So I think the Rockets certainly have the inside track in that one. And it looks like we're headed for another Golden State Rockets matchup just a round earlier than most expected when the season started.
Let's talk about what will probably be the most intriguing matchup to date in the playoffs so far in the second round in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks and the Celtics. What do you make of this series?
Man, this is going to be a tough one. I was a Celtics guy all year. I was, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. There's too much talent, too much experience, and they just never really put it together. And they looked good in the first round, but they were playing a Pacers team that basically could not put the ball in the basket. And Celtics defense is great, but the Pacers were just struggling without Victor Oladipo to have a scorer like that. And the Bucks have scorers all over the court. So not only are they going to have to contend with Giannis, they're going to have to deal with the shooters around him, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. They're going to have to contain Eric Bledsoe's penetration. So they're going to have to do all that and score enough on the NBA's top defense to beat them. So I really, as much as I wanted to pull for the Celtics, I think just I've been underrating the Bucks all year, and I think they're going to come away with the win in this series. I do think it'll go seven games, though.
What's been the biggest surprise to you this postseason so far?
We talked about the Blazers, but it has to be them. I think everyone counted them out, and they just proved that they are a legit contender and that they're going to be for a long time with those two locked up. The other surprise would be the Jazz not performing as well as I thought they would. The East, you know, was kind of a lock. Everyone kind of assumed those four teams were going to advance. But I thought the Jazz would give the Rockets a much, much more difficult time. And they still might. But so far in this series, either Houston's a lot better or Utah's a lot worse than I expected. I'm not quite sure which one yet.
When you look at some of the headlines around the NBA, and I'll get to the Los Angeles Lakers coaching search, do you think they're going to take the easy way out and go with Tyronn Lue? We've seen Jason Kidd interview for the position as well. Where do you think things are heading there in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think all my signs point to Lue. I think it just makes the most sense. He's coached LeBron teams before. He's got that relationship. I know they'll probably get hammered for it, for not going out and finding, you know, maybe a better X's and O's type guy. But I think at this point, it's about managing the relationships. It's about developing those young players and whoever they could potentially get in free agency or through a trade this summer. I don't think Jason Kidd's a good fit. He kind of proved that he wasn't really a modern NBA coach in his stint in Milwaukee, his most recent one. So, I think it'll end up being Lou, but there's always a chance that there could be some sort of, you know, wild card coming in at some point. I don't think they're going to rush this decision.
Were you surprised at all that there didn't seem to be more interest in this job, given the fact that it is the Lakers? It's ideally one of the best jobs in the NBA as far as storied franchises go.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing a lot in the NBA is that these coaches want to go into good organizations. Right now, the Lakers, for all their prestige and what they've done in the past, they're just not a good organization. They've got all this internal struggle, the Magic Johnson stuff that happened. They clearly have expectations that are much higher than their talent level, and they almost always will. So there is just a ton of pressure on any head coach who accepts that job. And that's, again, why I think a guy like Lue, a guy who's dealt with those expectations before in Cleveland, will be able to handle it. But I can see why coaches wouldn't be jumping at the opportunity to guide a team that's not all that talented and is dependent on one very great but very aging player to be successful.
Did it surprise you at all that Magic Johnson says that he's pretty much still around and helping this franchise out? Well, of course he is, but with all the turmoil, you'd think that he'd step away from things for a while.
No, I wasn't surprised. That's Magic. He said it in his kind of rambling exit interview when he quit, that he just didn't want to do the hard part. He likes the fun part of being around the team and being the face of the franchise and getting to talk to players and smooth with them and go, you know, give one-on-one advice and things like that. So I think he still wants to do all those things. I don't think there's any bad blood or anything like that. I think he's still, you know, very close with Jeannie Buss and a lot of people in that organization. So I'd expect him to be around. And like you said, he wants to be in the pitch meetings to try to help get players to come to LA, which was kind of the point of putting him, you know, in that position as president. So I think he'll still continue to do that, and how players view that, how potential free agents view him still being around the organization is going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
The Lakers aren't the only team right now with a coaching opening. Who do you see getting the job or getting interest from Phoenix?
It sounds like they really want Monty Williams, the assistant in Philadelphia. He's been on a lot of teams' lists as a guy that they want to go after. Great history in the NBA, obviously played and been an assistant for a long time. They're also looking at a couple of Portland assistants, but I think Monty Williams probably has the inside track there. Again, a younger, up-and-coming, you know, kind of players coach, somebody you need to guide a young franchise that's clearly not going to be contending anytime soon. Apparently they didn't think that Kokoskov was the guy to lead this crew, so they're going to bring in a fresh face, try to get a fresh start again, and see what they can do next season.
Colin, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll let you enjoy those two games on tap tonight. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Colin Ward-Hanninger of CBS Sports. Again, Houston up 3-1 on Utah, looking to close that series out tonight at home. Golden State also at home tonight, up 3-1 on the Clippers.
It was a crazy night last night, as we've discussed the first hour of the show with the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, but Damian Lillard is such a fantastic player.
Yeah, but it was a bad shot.
Oh, whatever. He is so good and has been so good for a long time, and he's played in Portland, and nobody watches him play all that much because, once again, he plays in Portland in anonymity. They don't have the best supporting cast around him. They're not going to get the best free agents to surround him. But he stayed loyal to that franchise, and all he has done has been he's been one of the top five offensive players in the league during the course of his career. So it's good to see him get over the hump, and I wouldn't have any trouble saying that I would rather have him as my franchise player than Russell Westbrook.
You hit on it. He plays in Portland. Nobody knows who he is. And Giannis up in Milwaukee, if you put either one of those players on the Lakers or the Knicks, they are superstars, but they would be superstars.
They would have their face on every billboard in New York, in L.A. They would be the marketable forces that you see. They would be, I'm not going to say on LeBron's level, but maybe just below as far as marketable guys, because you don't hear a lot about those guys, but the amount that you do, the people that watch them play, they can appreciate just how good they are. And I can't wait for that Milwaukee-Boston series coming up in the second round.
It should be good. The Celtics seem to be coming around. They looked very good in their opening series, and Milwaukee's going to be a stiff test for them. Both of those games, by the way, tonight on TNT, a doubleheader beginning at 7 o'clock with Utah and the Rockets. Houston favored by 8.5. Golden State, a 14.5-point favorite over the Clippers. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to continue reaching out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, it's going to be time for the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina. La Cantina's got 3 locations in the corridor, 1 in Marion and 2 in Cedar Rapids. You can check them out online, lacantina319.com. And all 3 La Cantina locations hiring if you're looking for work. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM after this.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Ace Buy One Get One free sale, now through Monday only. Don't miss out on all our great deals throughout the store. Save on top brands like Scott's and Ortho. Plus, get deals on other products you'll need this spring, like birdseed, spray paint, light bulbs, and more. With so many great buy one, get one free deals, you can't afford to miss it. So hurry in. The Ace Buy One Get One free sale ends Monday. Offers valid at participating stores. Buy select item and get designated item free. See store for details.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are four times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees. The 75 Reds. The 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's you, Nash, and Dukes on the Gym Class. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Chris Atterbury inviting you to join me for Twins baseball this evening right here as the Minnesota Twins take on the Houston Astros with a series on the line. They'll try to get the better of Justin Verlander and see if they can't come home with a series victory at Minute Maid Park. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that's the first place Minnesota Twins in the American League Central, despite not being able to get the job done last night. It's been an entertaining series with the Houston Astros. Cubs picking up a victory in the series opener against the Dodgers at Wrigley Field last night. Jose Quintana continuing to pitch well. Cole Hamels looking to keep that momentum going tonight. And then tomorrow, the expected return of John Lester to the rotation, although it sounds as if he will be on a relatively strict pitch count. I know 75 has been thrown around by Joe Maddon. Earlier today, the St. Louis Cardinals finished off a sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers. Christian Yelich, although only playing in two of the three games in the series, held hitless by the Cardinals, Alex.
Did he get a chance to hit? I know they walked him over and over and over again.
Hitless.
He didn't get a home run.
Hitless.
Hitless.
That's the but who cares
zero
how
hits.
Many times he walked?
Maybe two at-bats, but zero hits. It's very Travis Shaw was the one who got him in this series. If you're going to let somebody beat you, let it be Travis Shaw and not Christian Yelich.
It's not too often you look up at the TV and see Yadier Molina stealing third base.
That's true.
I And that brought a smile to my face because he is a fantasy baseball catcher of me on one of my four teams. I believe that would be the Chicago Mold, is that particular team named for the Dusty Baker comment a couple years ago during the National League playoffs.
The mold in Wrigley Field?
About the mold in Chicago. I believe it was Steven Strasburg that was under the weather back at the team hotel, and Dusty Baker opined on, that Chicago mold will get you every time. A couple of the other teams are inspired by one of my favorite TV shows, Better Call Saul, but I will not say those names on the air for lack of institutional control here this evening in the building. 319-366-1600 is the Hertzing and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to have a chance for you to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you answer more than your opponent, you're going to be enjoying $30 in delicious Mexican food and or beverages at one of La Cantina's 3 corridor locations. Very excited to sit down and chat with our next guest, NFL in-house, KGYM's in-house NFL draft expert, Mel Kuhn Jr., is set to join us soon. Very divisive segment. Some people like Mel Kuhn Jr. Some people do not like Mel Kuhn Jr. But before we can get to Mel,
haters gonna hate.
Before we can get to Mel and his insight in the draft, we have to tell you that if you're planning a home remodel or upgrading the windows in your home, make sure to check out the all-new window line at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Answers by Alexander, part of the Alexander Lumber family. They present this big board update. Here's our producer, Kyle Mann.
The Iowa football team announced a home game against Nevada earlier today to put the finishing touches on the 2022 schedule. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, Iowa State, and now Nevada, and in conference will host Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, and travel to Minnesota, Purdue, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Illinois. The Iowa baseball team once again used some late-game heroics to beat Milwaukee in 12 innings last night, 5-4. Justin Jenkins did a lot of the legwork in that one. He entered the game as a defensive substitute in the 8th inning, and that move paid off for Rick Heller when he gunned down a runner at the plate for an inning-ending double play in the top of the 12th. And then you'll never guess who walked up and walked it off with a solo home run in the bottom of the inning. At 24-15 on the season, 13 of Iowa's wins have been comebacks with 4 walk-offs. Gary Parrish of CBS Sports published an early top 25 for next year's basketball season. He ranks the Hawkeyes 16th, the fourth highest team in the conference. Michigan State is the top-ranked team, Maryland 5th, and Michigan 15th. The Rough Riders fell to the Chicago Steel last night, and so they face elimination right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drop is set for 7:05. After splitting a doubleheader yesterday, the Colonels are also in action tonight up in Wisconsin. First pitch set for 6:35. Tonight, right after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym, and then around 9 o'clock on the South and Main Gyms, we'll have the Warriors going for the kill against the Clippers.
Doors are open at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City for the Iowa women's basketball team's season celebrate. Shun with Lisa Bluder and her crew. That's an event that is free to the public. It's set to kick off at 6 o'clock tonight. I saw some really amazing photos from the state capitol earlier today. Megan Gustafson was there being recognized for her tremendous season by the Iowa legislature, and I ran into a group of kids who were there on a field trip from a school, and the look on the faces of the little girls who were getting to meet Megan Gustafson. If you think back to when you were a kid, when you were young, school age, let's say second, third, fourth grade, and you got excited to meet anybody who qualified as a celebrity, like the local weatherman.
Oh, yeah.
Or some.
You know, Mel Kiper Jr. wanted to be a weatherman when he was younger.
Oh, hold on. We got Mel Kuhn Jr.
Oh, he's here.
You think second or third graders would be excited if they crossed paths with Mel Kuhn Jr.? This is, again, extremely divisive. There's not a topic that we have done on
this
program.
What's the worst thing that anyone's ever said about me, Todd?
Mel, wait until I bring you on. You are the guest. I am the host.
Okay.
There is not a segment on this program, not a topic that we have ever broached that has been as controversial as Mel Kuhn Jr. You either love him or you hate him, and the people who hate him are not afraid to let Mel know.
As long as they're listening, Todd.
That they hate him. 3-1, this would be a good opportunity to give the text line, wouldn't it? 319-366-1600, KGYM's in-house draft expert, the one and only, the venerable, the incomparable Mel Kuhn Jr. He joins us every year, one day and one day only. He's here today.
Mel, it's not even draft day, Todd. Why am I here today?
Well, Mel, we're about 24 and a half hours away from the Arizona Cardinals being on the clock with the first pick in the draft. And before we get to Iowa and Iowa State, are we seeing Kyler Murray go off the board tomorrow to Cliff Kingsbury?
I'll tell you what, if it were anybody but Cliff Kingsbury, Todd, I would say no. Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams really qualify to be that number one overall pick. But Kyler Murray is the future. We've never seen a quarterback like him in the draft, but the speed, the arm, everything that is Kyler Murray is going to land him in Arizona. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Josh Rosen.
All right, Mel, as you know, there are a number of Hawkeye fans here in Eastern Iowa who will be listening, hopefully listening on KGYM tomorrow and not watching on TV, but listening here as we bring you.
Well, how are they going to see me?
Well, they'll hear you.
Oh.
They don't need to see you. The entire first round of the draft.
I have fantastic hair.
You do. It's amazing. Very amazing. Alford-esque.
Steve Alford-esque.
TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant are set to make history tomorrow. No teammates at the tight end position have ever been drafted together in the first round. Everybody expects that to be the case tomorrow. TJ Hockenson, how long does he have to wait to hear his name called? What team do you think TJ Hockenson will be a good fit for? There are a number of teams out there that need a tight end, and two of them are available, and Hockenson expected to go before Noah Fant. Let's start with what you see when you see TJ Hockenson before we get into you telling me he's going to be a Detroit Lion.
Well, first of all, TJ Hockenson is the best tight end that I have scouted in the past 15 years. This is a guy, well-rounded skill set, 6'5", 250 pounds, polished route runner, polished run blocker, good in line, polished pass blocker. This is a guy you will plug into any system, and there are about 8 teams at the top of the draft that really need a tight end. So you're looking at teams like Jacksonville at number 7, possibly a team like Cincinnati at number 11, Green Bay at 12. This guy does not get out of the top 15 because he is that good.
Don't take offense, Mel. I'm just looking at the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Brandon in Cedar Rapids, very excited to have you with us. By the way, if you wanted to give
Brandon
a shout-out from Mel Kuhn Jr. For just $5.99, Mel Kuhn Jr. will give you a personalized shout-out here on the KGYM airwaves. What about Noah Fant? Mel, what do you see when you look at Noah Fant? An athletic freak of nature.
4.5 speed, okay? 4.5 speed at the tight end position. He's going to have to be a little grittier to become an effective inline blocker, pretty good out in space. Route running is a concern. The hands are a concern, especially in traffic. But teams are going to fall in love with the 4.5 speed, the 40-inch vertical leap. He's a tight end you can throw a screen pass to. You can't do that to anyone other than maybe Rob Gronkowski, but he's retired. Travis Kelce's very good. But Noah Fant is a guy in this new age tight end schemes where he is going to be effective right away, if he can settle the problems with dropping the football.
Let's take a look at the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Cyclone Tim, this show should be canceled at this very moment. Cyclone Tim, that's not very nice. 5232, late to the show, but is this Kyle's Mel Kiper impersonation? It's not Mel Kiper. It's not a Mel Kiper impersonation. This is Mel Kuhn Jr., with us in the studio. We do this every year, and again, nothing. The gas station soup, and by the way, I have a topic that's going to blow gas station soup out of the water.
I don't know, Todd. Gas station soup was number one on my big board of topics that you've ever discussed on this very program.
There's no way in hell I am breaking what I have in store out as a discussion topic until the absolute dog days of summer. This is a July topic that is going to just be a ratings wonder here for us. It involves
Mount Rushmore of Iowa athletes.
Off-brand items. But that's just a tease. I don't want to get any further than that. I was listening, Mel, earlier today to the Stephen A. Smith show, not being hosted by Stephen A. Smith, which apparently when you make $8 to $10 million a year, you're only expected to work 2/3 of the work. Stephen A. Smith has more vacation days than anybody else I know. But I guess when you work on 7 different shows and get 3 hours of sleep, you're entitled to take as much time off as you want. But one of the guests was from Bleacher Report, said David Montgomery of Iowa State is going to be a tremendous steal in the second or even third round, depending on how far down the draft he falls. David Montgomery, best steal in the draft. If a team is looking for a running back, could they do any worse or any better than David Montgomery?
A lot of people like Josh Jacobs out of Alabama, but I'll tell you what, Todd. David Montgomery is the best zone blocking scheme running back in this draft. He makes too much sense to get out of round number 2. You talk about the compact frame, a guy who sets up blocks. He's very patient as a runner. He doesn't slip out of round number 2, and he's an instant starter, possibly even a Pro Bowler in year 1. Yes, you heard me right. A Pro Bowler his rookie season. I love David Montgomery. In this draft where there's a lot of mid-round running back prospects, he is the best, even better than Josh Jacobs out of Alabama.
Baltimore Ravens are looking for a wide receiver. Hakeem Butler's name has been thrown around depending on which mock draft you're looking at. Do we hear Hakeem Butler's name called tomorrow? And if not, why would he fall to the second round in your opinion?
He's a very intriguing prospect, Todd. I don't know what to think about him. I don't know what to think about Hakeem Butler. Made a lot of progress from the past year to this last year as far as catching balls in traffic, but he still drops way too many passes. He's big. He's fast. He's strong. He has a really good stiff arm when he's pushing away smaller defensive backs, but the problems with route running as well as all of the drops make him very concerning and make me question as to whether or not he can succeed at the NFL level.
319-366-1600 if you yourself have a question for renowned in-house draft expert Mel Kiper. Mel Kuhn Jr. He will, of course, be listening with bated breath tomorrow as we cut away at 6 o'clock for coverage, ESPN's coverage of the first round of the NFL draft. Nashville, Tennessee, playing host to the draft this year, and Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road playing host to us. We will be doing the show at Mulligan's tomorrow from 4 until 6, and then hanging out with you. I'm going to have my Packers gear on. Alex is going to have God knows what. He's still got some Rams gear in the closet. Maybe we'll dress.
Maybe St. Louis Blues.
Maybe we will dress appropriately. That series start tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow.
Okay, so we'll have a mishmash of NFL and NHL for you tomorrow on the program as we kick off another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com at Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. Stop on in, have some fun with us, and stick around until 6 o'clock because wings, boneless and bone-in, are both half price from 6 o'clock until close tomorrow at Mulligan's. We've got more details available on our website, KGYMRadio.com. Mel, let me ask you, now that you've had an opportunity to catch your breath, about another Iowa Hawkeye. He will not hear his name called tomorrow, but there's a very good chance that on Friday we will hear an NFL team add Anthony Nelson to its roster. Is there anybody comparable that you've seen in recent years, maybe even a former Big Ten player, that you would compare Anthony Nelson of the Iowa Hawkeyes to?
It's interesting that you ask, Todd, but because I hear a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues, comparing Anthony Nelson to a guy that came out of the Big Ten, Penn State to be exact, was a hard knock star this past year named Carl Nassib. Now, he got cut by the Cleveland Browns, but this is a guy in Anthony Nelson with a really good first step off the edge, long arms, uses his hands well, but he needs to improve his pass rushing moves. He's a little bland in that area. Can he develop that? That's going to decide whether or not he can succeed in the NFL. But I thought he should have had a lot more production than he did at Iowa. But he's nothing to sneeze at as a prospect. Maybe in late day two.
I'm looking at the text line. There are three people back to back to back, and they all want Mel Kuhn Jr. to take a – I think they want him to take a little bit of a dump on the Raiders here. We've talked about the Raiders and sending all of their scouts home for the draft. They've cleared out the draft room. Are the Raiders up to something nefarious tomorrow, Mel? Or basically, I think some of the listeners want to know how the Raiders are going to screw up this year's draft. Are they the new Cleveland Browns, Mel?
Todd, they're just very old school. That's about it. You never know what they're going to do. They took a terrible, terrible offensive tackle in Colton Miller last year in round number one, but they have three first-round picks. Devin White out of LSU makes a lot of sense. A lot of people think he could be one of the best prospects in this draft. And then you look down the line and you just wonder, where are things going to fall as far as pick number 24? Can they get another defensive end? Because Todd, I cannot stress this enough. All of these defensive ends from number 1 to number 10 are safe picks to be very, very good NFL players.
There you go, Cyclone Tim on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Last question, Mel, before we allow
you. Am I getting paid for this?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. We don't expect anybody to work for free here in the building. Last question before we part ways. Amontez Sweat, very impressive player. I saw him in person in January at the Outback Bowl when Iowa was beating Mississippi State and humbling the SEC, Iron Sheik style. Amontez Sweat, I look at him, and I think he's the true X factor in the draft tomorrow. I'm not sure there's a player that has more of an up and down volatility to him. He could be a top five pick. He could drop into the, say, 15 to 20 range, depending on what teams. What do you see Amontez Sweat tomorrow?
I see Amontez Sweat as middle of the first round, but he is a guy, like you mentioned, could slip, but it doesn't matter because he's going to be a great NFL player. As I just said, all of these defensive ends, from Nick Bosa to Amontez Sweat to Rayshon Gary, Clelin Ferrell, Brian Burns, Zach Allen out of Boston College, even Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida, who didn't do very well at the NFL Draft Combine, these guys are all going to be solid, and they're all going to help their NFL teams in year one. So you shouldn't sweat if you fall, because these guys are really, really good.
All right, last question, 52-32. We did not hit on Amani Hooker, another former Hawkeye. We will not hear his name called tomorrow, but another bet to hear his name called on Friday. Mel, he's such a talented player. The Iowa Hawkeyes made up a position for him.
It's going to be a similar thing in the NFL, Todd. They're going to need to find a situation where they can scheme for his skills. He's a future starter. His instincts are off the charts, real high motor, great ball skills, muscular build, can step down in the box, can hit some people, but he can be a little bit of a liability in coverage. Don't ask him to cover. Ask him to, especially not the speedy receivers, can match up with tight ends in the slot sometimes, but this is a guy who will be a starter given the right scheme.
Mel, we appreciate your contributions as always. Please feel free to make your way back to the KGYM Green Room, where we have stocked some warm bottled water and some Easter candy that we recently purchased for 50% off 48 hours
as long
after
as there's
the
Snickers, Todd.
Easter holiday. Do we have? Kyle says we have no Snickers. My apologies. Mel Kuhn Jr.
I was promised Snickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, 319-366-1600 as Mel exits and Alex rejoins us. What'd you do with your... Hold on. He's actually... There we go. There's the door in the background for some ambient noise here as we really
wow,
give
this... Wow, that
guy's
this, a piece of work.
We really give... Well, he was upset that there were no Snickers. We were promised... We promised him Snickers.
What a prima donna.
What's going on tomorrow with the draft? What are we talking about when we reconvene on Friday? Every year you look back at the draft and something out of the ordinary happens and becomes a major story. We've seen Laramie Tunsil grab headlines, Johnny Manziel. What tomorrow? Friday story going to be from this draft? Does it revolve around the number one pick. If Murray doesn't go,
that's where things start.
Murray, number one. My Stu Gotts shout out, since we're doing really terrible. That was not a terrible impersonation, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. If it was terrible, I wouldn't pester some of the listeners who don't like Mel Kuhn Jr. by putting him on the air. I thought it was, we fell into this. We stumbled into it, and I don't even really remember the genesis behind it, but it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So the
haters, 1 or 2 days a year.
The haters out there. Well, it's more than that, because occasionally you fall into the Mel Kuhn Jr. verbiage and voice. But
that's just my cheap impersonation of Mel. I can never be him.
1 day a year, we have Mel Kuhn Jr. on the program. It's fascinating to me that people make a living spouting opinions, period, in sports talk radio. But especially people like Mel Kiper Jr., who do this for a living, where they
It's
all they do. And they're right and they're wrong, and people never forget when they're wrong. And I know there's been some wonderful clips. I think it was Bill Polian called out Mel Kiper Jr. many years ago for criticizing the Colts, I think, for their selection of Trev Alberts, if I recall correctly, just to tell you how long ago it was. But the draft tomorrow, and we'll get to some of the storylines developing in the 6 o'clock hour, the third and final hour of the program tonight, because Daniel Snyder has kicked in the door of the draft room.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. The owner of the Washington Redskins is now injecting himself right into draft preparations. And the last time that he did this, they traded a bunch of first-round draft picks, and it blew up in their face.
RG3?
I believe that was the RG3 deal, when he demanded that they make that deal.
Now, they made that deal with the Rams, right?
Yes, they
did.
And
Jeff Fisher really used those draft picks super well. So it was one of the first times in history where a trade was an absolute lose-lose.
And then you've got the Raiders and questions of, are they cooking up some sort of off-the-board surprise with one of their selections? Kyler Murray, is he going to go number one, or is there something to the discussion that Pete Prisco put out there that he's hearing the Cardinals are not going to take Murray? Everybody else says Murray is all but a given going to the Cardinals at number one. And what team tomorrow? A couple years ago, it was the Chicago Bears that made a very controversial trade to move up one spot to get Mitchell Trubisky. There will be a team tomorrow that will make a trade to move up the draft board to reach for a quarterback. Who is that team going to be? 319-366-1600. John Elway loves him some first-round quarterback action.
He does.
And now you've got the quarterback from Duke.
Daniel Jones,
who's getting some major helium the day before the draft. The Giants.
Haskins, Drew Lock.
The Haskins stuff is strange. Did you see the New Jersey media report about trying to track down his... They talked to his dad, Dwayne Haskins' father, for this profile, because it's a big deal. If the Haskins is from New Jersey, and if the quarterback of the New York Giants is from the New York, New Jersey area, that's a huge deal. And a writer from a New Jersey paper tried to get Haskins' father to go on the record for a story, and his response was just a bunch of gobbledygook about not trusting some of the people that he had talked to and not getting the whole story. And the writer is trying to explain to Dwayne Haskins' father that that's why he's calling Dwayne Haskins to verify some of these stories that he's heard and to get the family's account. And then Haskins' father basically shuts down everybody else that the writer wants to talk to ask questions about.
It was like his coach, his former high school coach, his best friend. It was people definitely in Haskins' inner circle. And his dad was basically saying that some of those people are not credible. but wouldn't say why they're not credible or what was incorrect about what they
say. Among the sources that the writer named, he wouldn't say who was not credible.
It's very weird.
Then he never called him back, and the story went on. And look, we know the NFL and NFL franchises will ding a guy for virtually anything and everything. We were cringing a couple days ago at the old scouting report on Kelechi Osemele that somebody posted online where, as always, an anonymous NFL scout said Osemele was raised by women and you have to question his toughness because of that. And I know that there are a number of people out there that are cringing right now at that. That's an anonymous NFL scout. They held that against Kelechi Osemele, who, how's his pro career turned out?
It's pretty good.
Pretty damn good. Right? So
NFL scouting departments.
They look for anything and everything. You've told this story a number of times. If you don't grow up in the projects, there will be an NFL scout somewhere that says they question whether or not the player is dedicated to football. They don't need football. And they got a good degree. Their family has money. They don't need I don't know whether they need football or not. They look for anything to hold a player back. It's fascinating to me. Kelechi Osemele, he was raised by women. He's not tough. Kelechi Osemele's how many Pro Bowls and how many millions of dollars? And that scout probably still has a job somewhere, which is even more mind-boggling.
Well, how many times do we hear about some of the
some
of the ridiculous questions that are asked of players at the Pro Bowl? Or at the Pro Bowl, at the Combine, I should say. And they keep happening year after year, right? Like every year there's this outrage over a question that's asked or an anonymous scouting report that somebody has on another player, but they just keep happening. Like they're not changing, in case you're wondering. Nothing about the NFL is changing at all.
Was it Dez Bryant who was asked whether his mom was a prostitute?
Yes, it was Dez Bryant.
I don't know whether they're asking guys this year whether they're...
They ask about a player's sexuality. That has happened, which is a ridiculous question, because what if somebody admits that they are gay and you don't draft them? That sounds like a really surefire way to get sued.
That always has been of interest to me, because in any other line of work, if you were to ask that question, you would have so many lawsuits thrown your way. You would be, it would make headlines, national headlines, that an employer was asking questions. Because the combine is, if not anything, a multi-day job interview. And yet everybody sort of tolerates these questions. And my favorite, we've done this in the past. Are you a dog or a cat? Questions like that, where you're trying to get to the psychology of a player, or you're just wasting their time and you're trying to vex them and make them overthink. And maybe there's nothing to some of those questions. You just want to screw around and see if somebody gets worked up or not. 319-366-1600. It's 550. We need to take a quick timeout. When we return, I don't want to call it good news for Kansas City Chiefs fans, because the news itself is not good. But we do finally have resolution in the Tyreek Hill situation. Or do we? Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years, with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, 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 ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts and take advantage of the Do It Right rebate. Get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail when you buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and pair of rotors. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you, because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
The future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is tomorrow on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Are you excited about Iowa adding Nevada to the 2022 non-conference schedule? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. If you missed that update, you'll hear more about it coming up in the 6 o'clock hour on our next Big Board Update, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Kyle will rejoin us in about 25 to 30 minutes. Plenty more to get to tonight on the program. 6 o'clock hour is on the way. The 6 o'clock showdown just minutes away after the top of the hour. But the big story, at least in terms of the National Football League today, that is non-draft related, is we finally have some resolution to the status of Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs. Hill, for those of you who are unaware, was being investigated along with his girlfriend, the mother of his child. His child suffered a broken arm, and there was question as to whether or not Tyreek Hill was going to face charges for that. The Johnson County, this is Johnson County, Kansas, a district attorney today announced that they are not filing charges in the investigation. But before people rush out to celebrate this, Alex, the prosecutor in the case, Stephen Howe,
pointed comments, didn't he?
Yes. We are deeply disturbed. We believe a crime occurred, but there is not enough evidence to determine who committed the crime.
He went on to say a child has been hurt. So yes, as a prosecutor and a father of four kids, it frustrates me when someone hurts a child and you can't do anything about it.
Now, there is a question here as to what the NFL can do in this instance, because a minor is involved, and in many instances, a lot of these documents related to this case are going to be sealed, which means that if the NFL were to have an independent investigation into this, their investigators most likely would not be able to get their hands on some of the legal documents here, some of this information that the prosecutor has alluded to. This is an unsettling story for a number of reasons, and we've talked about this over the last couple of days with the same franchise because of the trade that they made with Seattle earlier in the week. They also parted ways with Kareem Hunt after some unsettling news about Kareem Hunt came to light. The NFL can't just let this go, can they?
No, he's going to get suspended.
He's going to face, if Adrian Peterson gets punished for smacking his kid around, this is talking about a young kid with a broken arm. And the prosecutor is saying, basically, if you read between the lines, it's mom or dad, and we can't figure out who it was. A crime occurred. We just can't figure out who did it. And so, unfortunately, nobody's getting punished here. And at the end of the day, you will have a segment of the fan base that's happy about this because they think that they get their playmaking wide receiver and return man back.
And they probably do. Maybe after a suspension, but they probably do.
Sports is a tough, tough racket sometimes. Where if you're a fan of a team, and I get asked this all the time about Addison Russell, and I got asked yesterday on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line, what if it were Javi Baez and not Addison Russell? And I responded as frankly as I could. It would be a lot more difficult to take the moral high ground. But I would like to still take the moral high ground. But it's going to be worth watching what Roger Goodell and the NFL do with Tyreek Hill, because I don't think you can just walk away from this.
No, especially since this is a second offense where he's had issues in the past with violence against women and now allegedly against children.
But he can win you football games.
That he can. He's very good.
And if the Chiefs let him go, as they did Kareem Hunt, someone else will take a chance on him. The 6 o'clock showdown will kick things off in hour number 3 when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. A 2-year contract extension for Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. His deal now runs through the 2021 season. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Roethlisberger will make a total of $68 million in the 2 years of the extension. The first question for tomorrow's NFL draft, will the Cardinals take quarterback Kyler Murray with the number one pick? But the second question, what happens with the second pick now held by the 49ers? ESPN's Todd McShay.
As much as I love Nick Bosa, I don't see a team giving away 3 picks to go move up to go get him when you can still get a Josh Allen from Kentucky or a good quality pass rusher a little bit later.
Todd McShay on First Take. Wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL draft starts tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and ABC. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports running back Marshawn Lynch for the second time is planning to retire. Lynch is 33 years old. He played the last 2 seasons with the Raiders. In the NBA playoffs tonight, the Warriors host the Clippers looking for a clinching Game 5 win. We've got that game beginning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Also tonight, the Rockets host the Jazz looking for a clinching Game 5 win. Another first-round Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The defending champion Capitals host the Hurricanes. Baseball finals today. The Giants take the Blue Jays 4-0. Drew Pomerantz and 2 relievers combine on a 2-hitter. The Rockies beat the Nationals 9-5. Nolan Arenado with 3 runs batted in.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Game 5 of the Clippers and Warriors. Coverage begins tonight at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O-Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After splitting the first two in Oakland, the Warriors storm into L.A. and win two straight. Now the Clippers face a must-win Game 5 on the road.
Tonight, starting at 9 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as local programs like this one and the gym class. You can tune in tomorrow for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action, courtesy of Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. They hit the airwaves at 3, and then they'll be followed by us at Mulligan's for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com, on the air from 4 until 6, and then we turn things over to ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft. Coming up in the third and final hour tonight, we've got some leftovers in the refrigerator from yesterday's Iowa media availability. We'll hear some more of what Phil Parker had to say about the Iowa defense. The 6 o'clock showdown is coming up in just a few minutes, but the folks at Baseball America have released their updated projections for the field of 64. The college baseball postseason is rapidly approaching. This is interesting for a couple reasons. The Iowa Hawkeyes do not make an appearance here, and I'm not surprised by that. But there are four Big Ten teams currently projected to make the postseason. But another name jumps off the page at me. UC Irvine, projected to be the number 2 seed behind only UCLA in the Los Angeles pod. UC Irvine comes to Duane Banks Field next week.
Such a good program.
For a 3-game series against Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes. And Nebraska, for, I guess, purposes of comparison, Nebraska was just in town and Iowa took 2 of 3 games from the Huskers. But Nebraska also projected to be a 2 seed going to Nashville, Tennessee. So if you like college baseball, if you like high-level, good college baseball, you've got an opportunity to see a really good program in UC Irvine come into town. Just a couple years ago, they had Keston Hira, who was the first-round draft pick of the Milwaukee Brewers, and you never know.
They were in the College World Series 5 years ago, 2014. They made it all the way to Omaha, and I remember that because that was my first year in Corvallis. And they beat the number 1 overall seed, Oregon State, in that regional and got all the way to Omaha. So just a tough all-around program. They don't have a ton of superstars usually, despite some of the draft picks that they've had, but they're very good.
And Kyle informed me earlier today that we will be touching base with Rick Heller next week in advance of the UC Irvine series. So if you're a Hawkeye baseball fan, certainly something to look forward to there. We have a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill, and it is yours right now, but you've got to play for it. You've got to earn it from us, as it's time now for the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. We need 2 callers, 2 contestants, 319-366-1600. You can find La Cantina in Marion or at one of their 2 locations in Cedar Rapids, downtown across from the U.S. Cellular Center, or in the Fountains off Edgewood Road. La Cantina 319 is the website to check out the menu beforehand. And as we've mentioned before, they are hiring at all three locations if you are looking for work. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Whichever contestant does the best job answering the most questions correctly is going to take home that $30 gift card. And boy, do we have a conundrum tonight if there's a tie. This is a first. Let's hope there's not a tie. But we've got Brian's Squared on the line right now. Brian in Winthrop is going to be answering my questions, and Brian in Iowa City will be answering Alex's. So this is going to be extremely complicated in the short term. Brian in Winthrop, I'm going to need you to remain silent on the line and hold tight until we're ready to bring you on. Brian in Iowa City, you and Alex get to choose whether you would like to go first or second.
But I've seen both questions. I think, Brian, for the sake of fairness, we're going to have to go first.
Brian
here.
In Iowa City.
Brian in Iowa City, we're going to have to go first. Is that all right with you, Brian in Iowa City? Brian, this is so confusing. Brian in Iowa City, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you know the rules, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Iowa's final 2020 non-conference football opponent is coached by this former Hawkeye.
Pass.
How many players from last year's Iowa State team have entered the NBA draft?
3.
What former NBA coach routinely joins the Dan Le Batard show on Wednesdays?
Dan Van Gundy.
Correct. True or false, the Cubs aren't expected to start a right-handed pitcher during the series with the Dodgers?
True.
The son of this Hall of Famer is expected to make his Major League debut soon?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
This NHL team surrendered 4 goals in 5 minutes last night?
Las Vegas.
Which team holds the number 1 pick in tomorrow's NFL draft?
Arizona Cardinals.
Iowa's final 2022 non-conference football opponent is coached by this former Hawkeye.
It's Jay Norvell. He may or may not need it because 6 is going to be a really difficult number to beat. So Brian in Iowa City, hang tight. Let's go to Winthrop and make sure we've still got our other Brian on the line. Brian in Winthrop, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't run the table, we're at least looking for 6, which will force a tie and make things really fun around
Cause
here.
Mayhem.
Given
yes.
Mayhem, given how we normally break ties here. But Brian in Winthrop, if you're ready, your time will start. All right, where did Damian Lillard play his college basketball?
Pass.
What NFL quarterback got a 2-year contract extension today?
Rothenberger.
Which Mountain West team did the Iowa football program add to its 2022 schedule today?
Nevada.
Correct. The Arizona Cardinals have the number 1 selection in the NFL draft. What team holds the 2nd selection?
49ers.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels are finishing up their series against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Class A affiliate of what Major League Baseball team?
Brewers.
How many consecutive seasons have the Oklahoma City Thunder exited the playoffs in the first round? Multiple choice. 2, 3, 4, or 5?
4.
Name 1 of the rules or plays that college football is making slight changes to for 2019. Damian Lillard's college. Oh, that was a lot closer than I was expecting. Brian in Winthrop, thank you for playing tonight. Brian in Iowa City, hang tight. Kyle's going to get you your $30 gift card to La Cantina. For those of you wondering why we were suggesting mayhem was about to break loose, how we normally handle a tiebreaker is we give a question. Had that ended in a tie, we normally ask people to shout out their name.
We're going to have to, we would have had to ask them to shout out their city.
This is an important seminal moment in show history because we have uncovered a problem and can now put in place a procedure to cut off future problems at the pass if this ever happens again. We've never had two contestants with the same name on the showdown before.
Can we get like two Stephen Marions next time?
Yeah, let's have two names, same name, same city. Damian Lillard played his college basketball at Weber State.
Hotbed of college basketball.
How in the world did he wind up at Weber State?
It's a great question.
We got most of the other. I was getting really nervous there. I did think we were headed toward a tie. Then he missed the Oklahoma City. The Thunder have exited the playoffs in the first round in three consecutive seasons. And one of the rules or plays that college football made slight changes to yesterday could have gone with targeting, could have gone with the overtime rule, which after five overtimes, it basically becomes a two-point conversion fest right on the goal line. Blindside blocks and kick returns. They got rid of the two-man wedge formation on kick returns. There's only one question out there that he did not get.
And it was the first one. We're chatting about Nevada and that them being added to Iowa's 2022 schedule, and mostly it's because they are coached by former Hawkeye Jay Norvell, former Bob Stoops assistant at Oklahoma.
Norvell, a player at Iowa when Kirk Ferentz was the offensive line coach, and Norvell was, I believe, still at Oklahoma on the staff when Iowa and Oklahoma played in the Insight Bowl under Bob Stoops several years ago. Obviously, some pretty close ties there. And a program at Nevada that has won some football games over the last several years, has been a respectable program. The Mountain West is not a Power 5 conference, but it's also...
It's as close as you can get along with the AAC.
I would say the AAC and the Mountain West are the two conferences. If you're looking to add an opponent for non-conference purposes, one of those two places would be a good place to look. The most important thing for Iowa is it does not appear to be a home-and-home situation. This is going to be a one-off, and that keeps Iowa from going west and dealing with things like the time zone change and altitude and things that traditionally hinder Big Ten teams when they make that trip to the Pacific or Mountain time zones. Who's to say whether we'll still be here in 2022 or what this show will look like or sound like? Fingers crossed that we are still on the air previewing Iowa and Nevada prior to September 17th, 2022. And fingers crossed that you're still here with us listening. And I try to make a point to say this every single day at least one time, but thank you for making us a part of your day here at KGYM, and in particular, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. We really do appreciate it. We would not exist without you.
Those of you that don't like Mel Kuhn Jr.
I would exist. Let's be honest. I would exist. I would just be washing dishes somewhere or ringing up people's gas purchases or doing some sort of other manual labor because I'm not qualified to do anything except sit behind a microphone and be an idiot.
See, it's funny when people ask me that, like, what would you do if you're not doing that? I prefer not to answer that question just for the reasons you laid out there. But did you know, Todd, that Mel Kiper Jr. says he would be a weatherman if he weren't doing what he's doing right now?
Here's a front
coming in.
He's got the look. I could see him standing in front of a map showing high pressure, low pressure. Here's your 10-day outlook, the little cartoon character of the kid getting on the school bus. Put on the windbreakers tomorrow. See, I don't have one. I don't have a Mel Kiper Jr. You either got it or you don't. Alex has it. I don't. 319-366-1600 as we gear up for the NFL draft tomorrow.
Mel has it.
It is going to be fascinating to see what the Packers do with those two picks. And I know there are a number of Iowa fans who are also Green Bay Packers fans, and whether or not Noah Fant can make his way to Green Bay and you team him with Aaron Rodgers. And it's hard not to dream on something like that, isn't it? if you're an Iowa fan. We'll spend some time discussing this tomorrow on the program. The Bears do not have a first-round pick tomorrow at the moment.
Or a second round.
Or, right? Well, who knows?
Right now, they don't
right
have a
now,
first or
they
second.
Don't have a pick tomorrow to make tomorrow, although they could somehow conceivably no. I'd be very surprised if the Bears were a player tomorrow in the draft. One of the teams that will be, though, the Oakland Raiders, as we've covered ad nauseum. They have three first-round picks, and nobody knows what they're going to do with any of them.
So 4, 24, and 27.
I would think 24 and 27 are going to get packaged to move up. Would be a guess on my part, although maybe they've got three players that they like and they know they can get two of them in the late first round. But if I were running the show and I were Mike Mayock and John Gruden, and this appears to be a two-man operation at this point, I'd package those two later picks to try to move up if there was a guy that fit my needs. The Redskins, as we touched on in the 5 o'clock hour, there are reports out there that Dan Snyder has entered the room, literally and figuratively, and he has taken control. The scouts, the player personnel department, the GM, head coach, nobody has any say on who the Redskins are taking. It's going to be a Daniel Snyder production once again. And as you alluded to, the last time that this happened, RG3.
Yeah, see, let's think about this right now. Why would Dan Snyder be running into the room and taking over? They pick it number 15. You think he's running in there to clamor about a defensive end prospect or a tackle prospect or a defensive tackle prospect or a tight end? Why is he running in there? They have been linked to Dwayne Haskins from the word go. And I don't think that Dwayne Haskins is going to go number 6 to New York anymore. I think that Dave Gettleman is so bullheaded that they're going to go defensive. They're either going to go defensive end or they're going to draft an interior offensive line or an offensive lineman, because he wants to stick to his guns and say that, oh, Eli Manning has plenty left in the tank. So then Drew Locke sort of is sitting there at number 10 for John Elway to jump on. And then there's Dwayne Haskins, who looked like a possible top 5 pick, falling all the way to the middle of the first round. So I think Dan Snyder's in a frenzy seeing all of this.
This report came from a radio host in the D.C. area named Grant Paulson, who also hosts the Redskins pre- and post-game coverage on NBC
You're
Sports
fired.
Washington. So he's got good sources here. The last time it happened, the Redskins traded two future number ones and a number two to move up for RG3. The Redskins were also, and I don't know whether this was serious or not, but they were the subject of speculation to be involved in trade talks with Arizona over Josh Rosen. And I don't think that necessarily got off the ground, but look for Washington to do something dumb tomorrow, because the owner isn't trusting the personnel that he's put in place to run his franchise for him.
Which is interesting, because I'm pretty sure that the people that are running the franchise for him don't trust him as an owner. So it's a solid...
How do you work for somebody like Dan Snyder?
Not very effectively.
You're going to do all the legwork. You're going to bust your hump. And in the 11th hour, he's going to come in and he's going to blow everything up, or he's going to take credit for your work.
And now you see the reports trickling out from blue check marks on Twitter. The decision is going to be made by Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder. They are the ones making the call. The name I keep hearing is Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State.
You got to be cool like Will Cain and call him the Blue Checkmark Brigade. The Blue Checkmark Brigade.
Is that supposed to be some kind of
insulting
moniker?
I think it's supposed to be an insult.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. 366-1600. It is 6:21. We've got leftovers to get out of the refrigerator from yesterday's program, some Phil Parker audio that we did not get a chance to get to. But when we return, Kyle will get you a big board update, and then we will get to said Phil Parker audio. Hold on. More of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
The name of the business is called Archery Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at tupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
After splitting the first two in Oakland, the Warriors storm into L.A. and win two straight. Now the Clippers face a must-win Game 5 on the road.
Tonight, starting at 9 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:25, welcome back in. The Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for about another 30-plus minutes here before we make way for ESPN programming tonight. 107.5 FM, you're going to get Minnesota Twins baseball as the Twins continue their series against the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park. Again, that's coming up on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Lots of ground to cover here over the remaining minutes that we have with you. Stick around, more on the way. But first, let the team at Alexander Lumber help you choose the deck that's right for your outdoor space and your budget this summer. Visit them at Independence Drive in Iowa City, 2802 Independence Drive. To be exact, Alexander Lumber brings you this big board update with our producer, Kyle Mann.
The Iowa football team announced a home game against Nevada earlier today to put the finishing touches on the 2022 schedule. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, Iowa State, and Nevada, and in conference will host Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, and travel to Minnesota, Purdue, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Illinois. The Iowa baseball team once again used some late-game heroics to beat Milwaukee in 12 innings last night, 5-4. Justin Jenkins did a lot of the legwork in that one. He entered the game as a defensive substitute in the 8th inning, and that move paid off big time for Rick Heller when he gunned down a runner at the plate for an inning-ending double play in the top of the 12th inning. And then you'll never guess who walked up and walked it off with a solo home run in the bottom of the inning. At 24-15 on the season, 13 of Iowa's wins have been comebacks, with 4 of them being walk-offs. Gary Parrish of CBS Sports published an early top 25 for next year's basketball season, and he ranks the Hawkeyes 16th, the 4th highest team in the conference. Michigan State is the top-ranked team overall, Maryland is 5th, and Michigan 15th. The Rough Riders fell to the Chicago Steel last night, and so they face elimination right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drop for that is set for 7:05, and after splitting a doubleheader yesterday, the Colonels are also in action up in Wisconsin. First pitch for that set for 6:35. Tonight, right after the show, we'll have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym, and then around 9 o'clock on the South and Main Gyms, we'll have the Warriors going for the kill against the Clippers.
Speaking of Iowa baseball, Grant Leonard has been fantastic in the late-inning role for Rick Heller's team this year, and our pal James Allen at the University of Iowa letting us know that Leonard has been added to the mid-season list for the Stopper of the Year Award, which is awarded by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association.
It's a badass name for an award.
The Stopper of the Year.
Stopper of the Year.
When I was a kid, they used to have in Major League Baseball, it was the Rolaids Relief Man of the Year Award, which went to the best relief pitcher. Leonard has been nails. He's 2-1 with a 1.29 ERA over 18 appearances, perfect 9 of 9. In save opportunities. There's probably some big league teams out there that would die to have those numbers associated with their closer. 6:28, we promised we were going to crack open the refrigerator and pull out some KGYM leftovers for you yesterday. Because of time constraints, we did not get to a number of Phil Parker's comments from Iowa's defensive coordinator's media availability yesterday. So here for you now, some of the non-Amani Hooker cash position related highlights of Phil Parker's media availability.
You guys had, I think last year eight defensive linemen rotated in, and I think it's been between 8 and 6 since about 2015. What do you see this year, and is there a number that, like, do you need to have 8? Do you guys kind of push guys to get 8 guys ready, or do you just have wherever the number shows up, wherever the number ends up?
Well, you know, we'd definitely like to have we'd like to have, you know, 4 ends and 4 tackles. Right now we're probably leaning more on 5 inside guys and 3 outside guys. I think we'll eventually get to, we might have 4 or 5 at the outside position. So I'm very pleased. We'd like to have 8 to 10 guys really to go in there and be able to fill a role, whether it's, you know, 10 plays, 15 plays at a time, if they can go in there and help you. The one thing about the defensive line and offensive line, every single play, they're beating on each other. And it takes a toll on you. And I think how many guys we played last year really kept us fresh up front. And those guys up front are the reason why we were so successful, in my opinion, is because we had so many of them. And maybe they were getting 30, 35, but we kept them fresh. And that's not only doing the games, but also doing practice.
You led the Big Ten in scoring defense last year. Do you see pieces in place that could replicate those kind of numbers?
You know, right now I'd say, you know, I don't know if we're ready to play a game right now, but I think we have a chance to be I'd say we're average right now. We can be a good team. I don't know if we can be, you know, what we're always striving to be. Can we be great, you know, and that comes with a lot of effort and hard work, and there's a long ways to go before we get to, you know, our September games. But I think we have a chance. I think we have enough guys, enough talent to do that, to be very successful on defense.
Last year you recruited 4 new linebackers, and then now you're kind of adjusting roles. How does that impact you right now, where you probably have an abundance of linebackers, and who's kind of at the forefront right now?
But the one thing about having a lot of linebackers, they play, you know, special teams participation for those guys is really good for us. I mean, we need linebacker type of guys, and they really kind of fit into a lot of these special teams, whether it's on the punt team, punt return team, kickoff, or kickoff return team. I think they do give us some help there. But I think we're up front. I think, between Jaimin, to me, is a guy that's really improved up front, and You look at Welch and you look at Dylan. I think them guys, and they're going to help us, you know, as a linebacker group. And you look at Barrington Wade and Nick Neiman. Them guys have been playing outside, you know, as a Leo backer, but also playing inside. So it gives us some more flexibility of how many guys we have. We have a good rotation and a lot of depth, I think, at linebacker. So it's, and it's good competition too. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. But I think we got a good group of guys. And I don't think one's really that far ahead of somebody else, you know. I think they're pretty well, you know, every day this guy might be a little bit better, this guy might be a little bit better. But I think it's definitely going to help out our special teams too.
Last year when Matt and Ojemudia went down, you got kind of a preview, 4 or 5 game preview of Riley and Julius. How much did that help you, and how much has that made that the corner position competitive? Imagine you have four guys you feel pretty comfortable with.
I do, and I think, you know, it was a time where they had to go in and they didn't have a choice but to go out there and play. And I think they learned some things as it went in there. I think it became, at one point in time, you know, they would. I think it was 4 or 5 games they started. And the wear and tear for a college season kind of wore on them a little bit. But they have experience. They've been on the field. So that gives me a confidence. I know they've been out there before. We've won with them before, and I think they're just getting better as they go. Now, do they need to grow and keep on growing? That's the hardest thing, was we go and play a freshman, and then all of a sudden he sits there and say, hey, how do I get there? You know, they really worked hard. They got to continue that work ethic of what made them get there and actually play on the field as a freshman to keep on improving, to be back out there, you know, as your sophomore year. You just don't want to take a dip of, you know, your work ethic, and you got to keep on striving to get better at every point, you know.
Can you talk about Matt's growth a little bit? I mean, last year it felt like he had an important year for you. He missed 6 weeks. He had a little bit of a suspension and really bad timing. But it feels like that's all in the rearview for him. And it feels like he's maybe playing his best football toward the end of the season.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's done a good job. You know, the thing about it is he understands the game of football. And the one thing about playing corner, you're always out there on the island, and it's hard to play out there at times, and you got to make sure you take care of him and protect him. But I think he's grown as a football player, and we need him to grow as a leader and be part of that leadership that we need as a whole on the defensive side.
What do you see from that 3-4 look when you're bringing some of those linebackers down? I know Monty Jones was, before he got hurt, was doing that, and you mentioned Dylan Doyle and Welch. What are you looking for there, and what are you seeing so far in the spring?
Really, usually playing mostly it's almost playing like the Leo backer, but you're only playing on sometimes you're going to play on a tight end, and sometimes you're going to be playing on an offensive tackle. And what we're looking for is some toughness and guys that have a lot of energy and effort. And I think our guys have been doing a good job. You know, some of those guys are 235, 240. And I don't know if we go back to Parker Hesse when he started playing and exactly how much weight he was, but he was a big size linebacker when he first got here too. So I think it's all, you know, the way we're developing this and way you can, you know, put them into a certain position where they're not always going to be taken on the power roll with a double team on a tackle and a guard, you know. So it's more or less they're going to play against the tight end, maybe on the backside, or they're going to play against the open end. So it gives them a little bit of more freedom, and it's not like they're going to be pounding all the time. Very similar to what I sometimes an outside backer would do.
You've kind of traditionally been, you know, over the years 4-3. Now you guys are evolving in different directions. Is that just the nature of where football's headed, and is it more of a chess match now kind of mentality?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I think it's always been a chess match game all the time. But, you know, after a while, it's 11 guys on 11 guys, you know, and are you calling the right things? Are you playing the right coverages? Are you doing the right things and how to – as long as everybody understands what we're doing and they can execute it, then it's okay. But I think we're running the same defense, whether it's the cash guy in there or it's the outside backer in there, Leo backer. So our philosophy or what we're doing as a structure-wise hasn't really changed, or our thoughts or how we're attacking somebody or how we're trying to defend somebody, you know, hasn't changed.
Some of the leftover clips from the Phil Parker media availability yesterday. You know, at the slaughterhouse, they take the leftover trimmings and they throw them back into the grinder and they make hot dogs. We just made Phil Parker hot dogs here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Yesterday we heard him talking primarily about the cash position and Amani Hooker's role in creating that. That was pretty much what you heard right here, was everything else. Kind of a look at the other positions, especially linebacker, defensive backs, and it sounds like there's some optimism as Iowa closes out the spring and gets ready for the fall. But it's hard not to listen to that and expect to be talking about some new names next fall.
There will be a lot of new names.
I'm interested to see Dylan Doyle, Chris Doyle's son, who was a tremendous wrestler and football player at Iowa City West High School and has, of course, grown up around the Iowa football program and strength and conditioning. And I think he's going to take a major step forward and see a ton of playing time this year. And the one guy that we haven't even heard mentioned, I don't think, A.J. Epinesa, who...
first-year starter.
Next year, at this time, you thought the T.J. Hockenson-Noah Fant preparation for the draft was fun. There are some folks who are right now projecting A.J. Epinesa to be a top-five draft pick next year.
If he was in this year's draft, I think he'd be a first-round pick, which is ridiculous to say with how many quality defensive ends there are and how, I'm not going to say little playing time, but he hasn't started a game yet. But his pass rushing ability and just the entire package, the size, the strength, everything would make him a first-round pick in this year's draft. Next year, it will be very interesting to see where he ends up because he's that type of talent. But there are a lot of new faces on that defense. And as I've said, I think a lot of people sort of take for granted that Phil Parker in the past has been able to cycle guys in and out and not necessarily rebuild, rather reload with different faces every year. So who's going to step up and become that next NFL prospect? Is it going to be a guy like Julius Prince? Is it going to be a guy like Michael Ojemudia or Geno Stone or some of the linebackers? Because that's sort of what's expected from this defense. You go from Desmond King to Josh Jackson to Amani Hooker, and there wasn't all that much of a drop-off. So who replaces Amani Hooker and Anthony Nelson and Parker Hesse and Matt Nelson and Jake Gervais? I don't think that a lot of people expect a huge drop-off from that unit.
The topic of Iowa football came up earlier today as well with the announcement that Nevada has been added to the 2022 non-conference schedule. You've been able to share your thoughts with us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. There really hasn't been a ton of weeping and gnashing of teeth over this because I think people are resigned to the fact that with the non-conference schedule, you understand what the objective is from Kirk Ferentz. And what really has helped Iowa here or hindered it, depending on your approach to the non-conference schedule, is the fact that Matt Campbell has Iowa State emerging as a powerful opponent in the Big 12. And that gives Iowa the ability to say every single season they're locked into a home and home with a Power 5 opponent. And not just any Power 5 opponent, but a decent one. And so now you go out in the other two games, and in 2022, for instance, Iowa is set to play South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits traditionally field a strong division, a strong FCS level football program. Don't ever say Division II because you will get emails and phone calls and it was an accident and I did it one time 8 years ago. And there are two things that I've learned over the course of time doing this, a number of lessons, but the two that will always stick with me, never make that mistake again, referring to any school, but let alone you and I, as Division II. And the other one was, when I was at the Daily Iowan, one of the very first times that I ever referenced the University of Iowa Fieldhouse in a story, I spelled it as like the bar. And I got an angry email from somebody Yes, I got an angry email from somebody who was in the janitorial services department at the field house. That would be capital F-I-E-L-D space capital H-O-U-S-E. And I was set straight from that moment on.
Someone email you? You said you got an angry email from
angry email.
Oh, you know what? That's, I thought about
hard
this.
Hard to believe, right?
Yeah, you know how everyone is always like, why is this? Why have we as a society become so sensitive? And I'm not going to get off on this tangent. It's 100% because of social media. How do we not see this coming? If somebody was willing to take time out of their day to email you when it was a lot more difficult to reach you, didn't you kind of see if everyone had an easy platform to get to you, it would be like open season, which is exactly what it is on Twitter?
Should have seen this coming.
We should have seen
it
coming.
None of us did. 6:42, the St. Louis Cardinals are in first place in the National League Central. Should we have seen this coming? Not with that schedule. I'll explain when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flap cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flap cap courtesy of Pepsi.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
The next time you need auto parts and accessories, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For decades, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for their knowledge and commitment to customer service, and you can too. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest decking from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. So if you want to bring the superior performance and durability of Trex to your backyard, visit Trex.com for deck plans and to order samples.
Chris Atterbury inviting you to join me for Twins baseball this evening right here as the Minnesota Twins take on the Houston Astros with a series on the line. They'll try to get the better of Justin Verlander and see if they can't come home with a series victory at Minute Maid Park. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And my guy Willens Astudillo in right field for the Twins tonight. La Tortuga. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn wrapping up for a Wednesday. A reminder to please join us tomorrow as we return to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll be at Mulligan's from 4 until 6, and then from 6 until 7, hanging out, drinking beer, eating half-price wings, and watching the NFL draft with you. I'd love to hang out with some fellow Packers fans. I will make time for Bears fans, Vikings fans, Lions fans. It's going to be one big come-together kumbaya moment tomorrow as we gear up for the Arizona Cardinals making that first selection. And from the Arizona Cardinals to the St. Louis Cardinals, who today finished off a sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals are alone in first place in the National League Central, Alex, with a 15-9 record.
It's early.
CBS Sports had a very good story earlier today about the Cardinals' first 44 games this season. Of their first 44 regular season games, 20 of those will come against teams that made playoff appearances last season, and 30 of the 44 will come against teams that posted a winning season. Now, that leaves 14 games against teams that had a losing record from a year ago. But those 14 games are against the Padres, the Reds, the Mets, and the Phillies. All four of those teams are markedly better than they were a year ago. The St. Louis Cardinals have the most difficult first 25% of a schedule in Major League Baseball. And yet, as you say, it is early through their first 44 games, through the first 24. They're 15-9 and one game ahead of the Cubs, two and a half games in front of the Cubs, one and a half games in front of the Pirates in the NL Central at the moment.
Those are interesting statistics. I did not see that article. The statistic that tells you all you need to know about this, the start of the St. Louis Cardinals, is they're 2-5 at Miller Park and they're 13-4 everywhere else. They struggled early on with the Brewers at Miller Park, and who created these schedules, the schedule this year where these two teams play, I'm trying to think, 10 games in the first month of the season? That's bizarre.
I think Christian Yelich may have had a hand in creating the schedule. He says, I want to face the Cardinals as much as I can.
He's off to a great start, but now he's not playing the Cardinals until, what, August or September? So is he going to go on a little bit of a slump here?
Your guess is as good as mine. It is a welcome slump because he's battling Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers right now for National League Most Valuable Player honors at the end of the season. If the season were to end today, Bellinger has been fantastic for the Dodgers, who are currently at Wrigley Field gearing up for game two of that three-game series. And somebody who is not currently in a major league dugout but will be on Friday. There had been an erroneous report last week that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to make his major league debut yesterday against the San Francisco Giants. It is official. The Toronto Blue Jays have announced that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is on his way to joining the Toronto Blue Jays. He will make his major league debut on Friday when the Blue Jays face the Oakland Athletics.
This is great news.
Very excited
about
this.
How many fantasy teams do you have him on?
Zero, none.
How?
Couldn't get him.
Okay, so he was really highly coveted in a lot of your leagues.
Yes. I was not going to use a first-round draft pick on him this year.
Yeah, somebody who was in the minor leagues?
Right. And instead I used it on Jose Ramirez, and I'm sort of kicking myself, but not really, because in the fourth round I was able to get Cody Bellinger, who's performing like a first-round
draft
pick.
You were so upset about that pick, too, weren't you?
I wasn't too wild about it. Don't get me on being upset, because last night I watched the Yankees and the Angels, and Luke Voit, friend of the show, goes off for two home runs.
He's been awful this year.
And then,
to all the baseball experts we keep having
on
the show.
On base, 37 consecutive games that he's been on base. Then I realized that in my one fantasy baseball league, which is a weekly league, meaning you set the lineup at the beginning of the week, and the next time you set it is the following Monday, I had him on the bench this week because apparently I decided that I wanted to roll with Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies, who's a nice player, certainly, but he's never been on this show, and he didn't hit two home runs against the Angels last night. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Thank you so much for your participation along with us today here at the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. coming up tomorrow on the program. Very excited about this. We're going to have Minnesota Twins catcher Mitch Garver on the program with us, as well as longtime NFL draft analyst Howard Balzer.
H joining us tomorrow.
Howard was at the very first televised NFL draft. ESPN televised the draft, I believe it was 1981, 82, something along those lines. And Howard has been plugged in with the NFL. Also is working closely with the XFL. So we'll get his opinion on former Hawkeye Jonathan Hayes being named the head coach of the St. Louis XFL franchise. Remember, it is an abbreviated two-hour show tomorrow, so tune into the Gym Class with Scott and Mark at 3 o'clock. Your chance to win tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and then you can listen in or join us from 4 until 6 at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com, off the air at 6 o'clock tomorrow so that we can bring you the first round of the NFL draft.
Come eat some wings with us. That's my favorite part of being there for an hour, not on the air. We get to relax, watch the draft, and you bet I'll be ordering some of those buffalo wings.
Half price wings from 6 until close. If you're looking for a place to watch the draft, why do it in your basement or in your living room or anywhere else? Come hang out with us at Mulligan's. Enjoy the beer of the day. Happy hour starts at 3, runs until 6. Half price wings from 6 until close. Details on our website, kgymradio.com. Just take the 42nd Street exit off 380. Head east until it tees out with Old Marion Road, and you're right there at Mulligan's. That'll do it for a Wednesday program. If you missed anything, you can always head over to kgymradio.com. Vote in our poll question, very important, and pull up the podcast. It's available for you there. 107.5 FM listeners, you're headed to Houston for Twins baseball. Everybody else, enjoy your evening.